Welcome to episode 4 of
The Ski Slope.
hope you like our new jingle.
Psyched to be here. Listen, we're going to pre-apologize for a problem that may not exist. I'm going to hope it doesn't exist.
Well, we've been experimenting with the equipment.
We have new equipment.
New equipment. We have a new mixing board because I forgot the plug the last time, so they had to like rush and get a whole
Fortunately, new machine. I live near a guitar center,
Thank God.
All worked out
Google
nicely.
Search on the maps. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
And then we bought some pop things. What are they called? Pop blockers or whatever for the microphones because we realized last episode, especially by the end, we were getting a little too close and maybe making a little too much extra noise.
We're going to take a picture. It looks pretty damn professional. But our butt is, I don't know, we might be sounding a little tinny right now.
Let us know.
Well, we'll know. I think we'll know before they know.
I think so, too.
Anyway, it's awesome to be here. This is our first week, I think, where we're just back a week later. This is great. It's like weekly now.
Yeah, it seems like it's a Tuesday thing, right? I think all of our podcasts have actually been done on a Tuesday evening. In fact, we've had some people that wanted to stop in. Like, are you guys doing it on Tuesday nights? Because we'll just make a, you know, pay a visit and we... You know, we can do that at some point.
It's been amazing feedback from the variety of people who have expressed their liking of this show. They enjoy our podcast.
It's great.
Wise.
It's fun.
It's cool.
Because it brings it back alive. You know, it brings camp alive a little bit. And for all of us who went to Swago or Swatona, like, the camps haven't been around for 30 years. So to sort of have some sort of camp energy, even if it's just this, and we're not making more of this than it is, but it's, you know, I'm enjoying it. I really am.
I'm going to make more of it.
All right, go ahead.
Nah, not really, but... I think I told you, did I tell you Bergie, who was, you know, one of us at Equinox,
right.
One of my good, greatest friends from college.
So envious of Equinox. Because I see a lot of Equinox pictures of, like, people going back and hanging out and checking in on, like, their kids for Color War. It just seems like it's a very popular camp to be at. And
it's a solid Wayne County camp. I think the kids love it. My nephew's been there forever. It was his Swago.
Right.
He's still a counselor. He was a counselor. He was doing us. And Bergie is listening to our podcast, just FYI.
Yeah.
And look, once you listen to a second one, you've enjoyed the first one. Yeah. I don't want... There's no...
Did he give any feedback? What did he say?
He said that he truly enjoyed Ed Burke.
Really?
Yeah. Right. He thought Ed Burke was was enjoyable.
But overall, like, he finds the podcast entertaining, even though he didn't go to Swago?
I'm exaggerating what we've discussed about it. He said, listen to the podcast. Preferred Ed Burke over Moose.
Oh, really? All right, Moose, don't, you know.
No, he was clearly not being negative on Moose.
Okay.
He was pointing out that he liked the Ed Burke episode.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so it's cool. I noticed the traffic at the site's pretty solid.
We're doing well.
Yeah, we are. It's kind of funny.
No, it's fun. And again, no expectations and no, like... You know,
what's with the qualifications?
It's not a vanity project, and we're not like doing this to like, oh, it's, you know, it's
not on the first
just
podcast,
that,
but
just
on four,
fun.
It's getting to be a little bit of a vanity project.
I mean, listen, I think part of the fun too is like, and it fulfills what our expectation was originally, is you have these other guys on, you know, like Ed and Moose,
mm-hmm.
and you can get into this stuff with them. You know, it's not like, oh, you see them at a basketball game or and there's 12 other people around, because you know, how intimate is the conversation going to be?
I'm sure you could say the same. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot that I did not know about
that Moose was a mule.
Right? I mean, just countless things.
Right?
Just been fun so far. Ed is, I wasn't joking, Ed actually had note cards. I still have them here. He was pretty thorough. He had his stuff together.
Yeah, he was good. He kept us on track. Like you had said at one point during the podcast that, like, oh, we're finishing stories for the first time. And it was true, you know? It had a certain continuity to it.
Yep, totally. Beautiful night in the city.
It is. In the hustling city splendor. And we are awaiting our... third special guest.
Yeah, great.
Mr. Robert Krause.
Totally.
When was he a second year senior? 74?
You know, I was trying to think about how removed from our other guests he is, but he isn't really. He's probably, what, a couple, he'll tell us, but
I think he's
maybe
a
couple years older than those guys, a year or two.
Yeah, we're definitely
we're inching our way up. We're inching our way up. Pretty soon we're going to get to someone who's, you know, for their...
Well, Lieberbaum, like, is calling us out saying, you know, if you have somebody from your own group on, it's not a... Like, I don't know. I think we have our fair share of tales.
Back when the first website that we were discussing with Ed came about, what really just kept people just enraptured was the story of the end of Swago. And we are planning a bonanza episode. There are going to be surprises. There will be surprises on this episode, but... We are going to be delivering that story to you, and so it's easy for Johnny to say, you know, where did you guys fit in? And
but John was with us.
That's a little bit of the irony of it to some extent, as he was a year older than
us. So there was the 1 year together. Really two. I think when you're a waiter, you still hang with the second year senior. So I think you get 2 years of community with that other group, you know.
It was him and Paul Allen and who and Paul Shelowitz. Who were the waiters?
I don't remember Shelowitz. Well, maybe Shelowitz was.
I remember him being in the white
T-shirt.
Maybe
he was. But he didn't go back to camp. He skipped into the seniors and then came
and
back
to
the
waiter. And then he became a waiter. That's an interesting path.
But he seemed like a cool cat. I remember Bucksbaum, who did the same kind of thing, too. He wasn't like a second-year senior or a first-year senior, for that matter, and came back.
You think it was like a fear of getting shafted? They just didn't want to be
general? I don't think so. I think the team tour thing was... You went on a team tour waiter year. The team tour thing was very alluring, you know?
It was. It still is. My son was on one this year.
Yeah.
And he's returning from a trip to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Thailand. I have the country wrong. Community service thing. Sounded awesome. He's coming back Friday. There's many other options now.
I know.
But kids still go to camp. There's still a strong affinity to camp. I think it ends a little earlier now. Only a few kids just keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
Right? I think a lot of kids get drawn away by something that's happened. They're around 14 years old. There's a lot of options.
I think life varies. So I don't... Like, my kids, they didn't love camp. You know, they liked it enough, but they didn't love it. And it's not like, oh my God, this was the best thing that ever happened to me. So, each his own.
I guess at the end of the day, isn't the goal to find that group of friends from whatever pursuit, whatever thing you do in life, whether it's college, camp. We just were, I've discovered, one of the things I've made this comment before, I don't know if it's true or not, so you say, well, what happened in our culture? New York, Northeastern Jewish people, basically. I mean, who else sends their kids to camp for 8 weeks?
Sure, and I didn't know that growing up. I didn't know it was a very idiosyncratic
community. Very homogenous group of people that did this. Not that other people didn't go to camp, and you say it to other people who weren't from the same group.
They understand,
and they're like, "I went to camp," and like, no, I went for two weeks. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's camp, but that's not what we're talking about. And I wonder what led to that, and what makes me, I don't know where the connection is, and maybe it's just from the movie Dirty Dancing, but I think it's like that.
The Swag
Lamada
in that movie.
Is that the alma mater
for the Dirty Dancing places.
Bringing my point even further.
Exactly, there's the clue.
I think that our parents, my parents, maybe yours did, went to these bungalow colonies up in the same area, and maybe this whole migration to up there, and I don't know.
It's like, great, my kids are there, they're a couple miles away.
Was it that way, though? Do you think,
I don't think, my parents didn't do the bungalow thing.
My parents didn't do the cats, did they? Yeah,
they're a little bit older than mine, right? My parents are more like...
Probably 3 or 4 years, not much. Well, maybe. How old is your mom? Sorry, Ellen.
She's 42.
Yeah. Ellen, if you're listening, my apologies. You look 10 years younger, I swear.
Thank you. Now, she is 71.
All right, so 2 years there, too. My mother's going to be 74, I believe. Sorry, Marilyn, if you didn't want me exposing that. You look like you're...
My mom's going to be 71.
You look like you're 60. So what were we just saying?
No, I think you're right there. I think the origins of why camp became popular was... Jews from
migrating up to lakes, going in cabins,
for whatever reason, right? And that was sort of a natural extension of that.
Does anybody look any different from her youth then to now than Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing? Have you seen her in that show that she had on Channel 2? It's like, that's Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing.
There was an artificial contributor to that, right? She had a lot of work done. So
there was. Can you just pause for a moment? I think the green room might be calling us.
Go.
Yes, my apologies, but we're back.
Fake break.
Yeah, fake break. she doesn't look at... Oh, so you're saying she was...
She's definitely had work done. I mean, she doesn't look anything like she used to look. And she looked better.
I understand, work done to, make yourself look more youthful, but she doesn't look like... She seems to have transformed her look to something different.
No, exactly. Her face is
completely different.
If you looked at her,
you would not recognize her. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Not weird, whatever she wants to do. I don't condone anything. But
I guess she went in with best of intentions, just to sort of modify what she looked like and make herself look better, but she looks completely different. And it's a shame too, because
Did you think she was cute back in the day?
Yeah, totally. She was great.
In that movie, I liked her.
Yeah, she was great. Come on, she's got the little like denim shorts, and she's doing the, you know, the dance.
The little Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, come on. That was all good. I didn't like her sister. I know that. Like, the sister didn't.
The dark-haired one?
Yeah. She
yeah.
Me. No?
Yeah. Well, you know, who didn't like her?
Welcome to the podcast.
Who didn't like her father, though? That, what was his name again? He died.
That
he
dude,
was good.
The Law and Order guy, yeah.
He was
He's
good.
Got a street named after him.
He does.
Guy, for some reason.
Well, because he was a...
He was like a Broadway guy, right?
He was a Broadway guy. I'm forgetting his name. I really liked him, too. And
Jerry Orbach.
Jerry Orbach. And the street, though, that's named after him is over on the West Side Highway, and it's where they shot Law and Order for ages.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
So I think it's more in honor of him than that right. He arrived at street, Jerry Orbach Avenue.
I thought he was like some you know, after-the-fact Broadway star. You know, he was in a couple of plays, so they named, like, you know, a part of 48th Street after him.
He was good. He was good.
He was good as Baby's dad. I wasn't really a Law and Order guy, though. Still, I guess it's still on, so I'm not a Law and Order
guy. I thought everybody goes through a phase where they're a Law and Order person for at least one time where you watch the TBS all-day thing on...
Never.
Whoa.
That sounds like
we're
going to
break right here. Thank you. We'll be right back. Well,
all right, we're negotiating back. Ground rules here.
Let me just... So, Robert Krause is in the house. And
yes!
Before you say a word... Woo! I've already had to start negotiating with him about when Howie and I are allowed to speak. So it's already off to a start. However, we couldn't be more excited than to have someone that we all love on some level. I don't know what level it is. For some people, it's hate. But for some people, it's most people, it's genuine, pure love. He's a
hate's
pure...
Hate's on that love level?
You know how there's some people that you just fucking just hate, but you love them, like,
it's an intense,
right?
This is an intense connection.
I got to know you just like Ed during the basketball time. You were wearing, I think, one of our shirts when you ran in here. You're keeping. Look at him; he's keeping his mouth
shut. Well, now we're gonna have to owe him like the return. If not
so,
return,
listen, so. We're gonna let him Tim roll and talk. Welcome to Swago, to the Ski Slope, Robert Krause, ladies and gentlemen.
I can go two ways, okay? With that intro, I could cry. I could really cry. But I'm not going to. But I could. I could. And as far as the whole love...
I'm tearing because you've been crying.
No, seriously. Yeah. Seriously. Because, first of all, it is an amazing thing, you know, what you guys are doing. And there'll be a very low amount of ass-kissing, mind you. But if I have to kiss your ass, it's real. Because it's amazing that you guys, the last generation... you know, have felt the need to do this nonsense. When you first did it, I said, oh my God, this is stupid shit.
So great.
That's reassuring.
And then when I listen and it you know, you feel it takes you right back and you don't even know you're going back till you hear something. And then when you get to that place, it's like, oh man, I always say I just wish I could go into a time machine and go back in my life and see my kids when they were little and see me when I was little. And you can't, you know? And when you guys do your thing, what have you, it just takes me back and just blows me away. So I had to come here.
Awesome.
Okay.
We're glad that you're here. And absolutely. I see you, just as Ed, have a whole list of notes.
I got a whole lot of stuff.
And you know what? We're going to just...
I'm
going to
have everybody prep for this.
Unless you have any objection,
let them go.
Tell us what you want to talk about. What
okay, yeah. No. Okay. Don't. Yeah, just sit close.
Tell us what you want to talk about.
Thank you.
What's going on with you? Tell us where your head's at.
Okay. So quietly now. Okay, first the whole love-hate thing. That was beautiful. It's a great way to get into it because my whole life I have a love-hate thing. People love me, hate me, what have you. And my stock answer for that is I am a litmus test for how psychologically evolved you are. You know, if you look at me like Gary Grapper does. No, if you look at me if you look at me and see a short, noisy, obnoxious, you know, New York Jew... Mm-hmm. Then you're not psychologically evolved. You got to get through the garbage sometimes to find something good. Okay, so with that, let me just tell you, today was a perfect day. So I was, you know, so psyched for this. My wife and two of my kids are home, and they decide they're going to go to Long Beach Island. They're schnurring off of some house, some friend, and they're out there for a couple of days. So I'm free tonight. So if you want to go out to some gay bars and find Johnny Lieberbaum, we can.
Excellent.
Okay. So I decide I'm going to run in the city. The weather clears up. I'm going to run in the city. I run down the High Line. I'm not a snob in anything, right? The one thing I'm a snob
it's kind
in...
It's crowded now to run down the High Line.
100%. And, I, you know, the point being, it's crowded with tourists. I hate tourists when they are aggregated in New York. If a tourist has trouble on the street, I'll help them. But when they're aggregated, I see red.
Then why did you run on the High Line?
Because I just felt like, you know what, I'm going to run on the High Line. And I wanted to aggravate myself, maybe. So I run on the High Line.
You're up for the show.
Okay, I'm done. You know, I say, ah, enough of this, and I run. Where do I have to go? I have to find a basketball park, right? So I find a park, and this is...
Where, over on, like, Hudson?
Yeah, on Gansevoort. And yes, Gansevoort,
yeah,
and Hudson.
That's a good park, yeah. There. There's some good games.
Yeah,
there.
Okay. So I walk in, and you mind you, I'm in my Swago mode, and here I go now, backing up for a second. Ed Burke made a comment the other day about...
You're allowed to back up. It's
yeah,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's allowed.
You know, Ed Burke made a comment about, and he said in a positive way, and I appreciate that, that what he liked about Krause and Cobbs were, we both are still 14 years old, same camp personality. I just like to amend that a little bit, Edward, and, you know, with all due respect, you know I love you. But it's not that I'm still 14 years old, and Cobbs, and I spoke to Cobbs this week, and we're going to get to Cobbs. Oh, boy, what a character.
We don't know Cobbs that well, so that's for you guys to go.
Just so you know.
Not even that well, I don't know him at all.
Yeah, I know. You know, he can come on.
Oh my! Like, just so right. You know, if you know, on a scale,
what like.
Cobbs live in the area.
Cobbs is coming. Cobbs was going to come tonight, but the two of us, you'd jump out
you're
the
not
terrace.
Allowed, you'd be overstepping your bounds if you brought a second.
No.
Our yeah. producer would have you not even.
Our producer Ed Burke.
Yeah.
Cobbs okay. is without a doubt the number one camp legend. The number one.
Really?
And I wasn't even at camp when
that's
he was there.
Big. That's a big statement.
Alan, I wasn't even at camp when he was there.
You He's didn't the, overlap at all.
No,
what
maybe
years were
one
you
year.
Just, we got
yeah,
it.
Sorry.
What
years
were you?
I was... I'm not giving it yet. I'm going to work my way into it. Sorry, Alan. Okay, wait. Okay, I'm sorry. No, I insulted you, Alan. I'll tell you then. I'll screw my script.
I don't
script.
Think he's offended.
No, I
no, give me the look. Just
yes, give me the look.
What?
Yeah,
tell us the years.
1972 to 75. 75 being...
You were only there for 3 years?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was...
And you're a guest on our show?
Well,
how'd that happen?
Says a lot from me.
I started the same year as you.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
That is
anyway,
amazing.
Go back to where
okay.
you were at.
So, I go into the... I see the basketball court. And when I go to a basketball court, it's... You know, clearly, you know, I'm coming back to Swago tonight. I become 14. So what I wanted to say about Ed Burke's comment is... I can access my 14-year-old at the drop of a dime,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever that's worth, and so can Cobbs. But I'm a fully functional adult also, I believe. Okay.
So everything you have to say about Cobbs is from post-Swago?
Yeah, no, I'm going to get to Cobbs. Cobbs is on the list, but hold on. So listen, so
I
go to...
I thought Ed like said that in a complimentary
he's
way.
He so did.
I don't think it was anything like
oh,
that.
No.
Take it that way.
Oh, no, 100% I did. I just wanted to amend it. I believe the word was amend.
Amen.
Because
sure.
I just, you know, always need to prove that I'm not actually 14.
You look good,
access.
By the way, Robert.
It's more of a supplement.
Thank you.
You look good.
Thank
you.
You
have a full head of hair for a Jewish guy.
Thank you. Okay, so I get to the basketball court.
You do
court.
As well, Howard.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get to the basketball court. So listen to what it's, you know, the court. There's. Okay, these guys are so ripped. All right.
No, we're not.
Okay,
not.
Okay, so I get to the basketball court. There's one guy playing on one court, one guy playing on the other court. I go up to the one guy, first the black guy, and just I go one-on-one. He goes, right. Okay. Dude was okay. He goes down 15-6. Mm-hmm. I go to the next court, 17-year-old. I go up 11-4. He goes up 12-11. He goes down 15.
Whoa. You're up 11-4. He comes back 12-11.
Yeah,
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was. I got a little tired. Beat him 15-12. And then while I'm playing him.
I wish he was there.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
I love that he did this.
Listen
before.
To me. While I'm playing him, I see.
This is the Robert Kraft story.
Yeah.
Though.
Oh, yeah.
This is what you expect.
Yeah.
He's the guest. He's already fucking lived the life. For the last 2 hours.
Oh, you can't imagine.
The door. Yeah, exactly.
So while I'm playing, I see a guy on the other side of the fence, older guy my age.
It's Cobbs.
And kind of short and fat. Now, if I'm calling you short and fat, you can rest assured you're short and fat.
Okay.
And he's cracking up. So after I beat these two guys, I go to him. I go, come over here. The guy comes over here. It's like I broke the... what's that called? Like when
fourth wall.
Fourth wall. Thank you. I knew Moyant would know that.
he has difficulty with it.
Yes, so
nobody can say
Moyant
comfortably.
Yeah.
I can say Moyant comfortably.
I can't.
Unless
Ed
you've been on the trip,
yes,
you can't do
it.
You know why? Because it's the sound of the kiss on, like, you know.
MWEH.
It messes me up. It messes me up.
Well, it's Moi. My sister would always go, "How's Moi?" Like,
it's the French pronunciation.
You know. Anyway.
So I take the short, fat guy. I bring him into the court. We play these two guys 2-on-2. I just tell him to set picks and be comfortable. Beat him 15-9.
Let me win.
Okay.
This
yeah. Game. So there you go. I have to open up absolutely as usual, bragging. Why do I need to brag? Why do I need the brag?
Just trying to let everybody know you're the same old Bobby Crouch.
Do you think that's bragging, or is it just sort of like,
I think that's what you did. I don't think it's bragging.
It's what I did. But you know, I do have a need to promote myself.
But you want people to now think, wow, Crouch is a really good basketball player.
Well, people know that, anyway. The three
people. No, but do you want like people like who's ever listening to the first show for the first time?
I think you should talk closer to the mic. I think you might be a little, not that, yeah, you're good there. But I think further away, you might not be getting it.
Okay.
You might be like me on the first.
Like, assume my wife is listening to this. Do you want her to feel like, oh, she knows? Now knows that Bob Krause is a good basketball player. Is that your desire? Or
well,
not?
First of all, it's not Bob Krause.
It's Robert.
Sorry.
It's not Krause. Bob Krause from here on in.
No, I would.
So step the line.
No. The only thing I would want your wife to know
is
the following: is that obviously I didn't know you at camp, Howie, but I met you. I met you after camp,
right.
and you very much impressed me as being ready, a very soft guy.
Really?
A soft...
You think that's going to win him over?
Yeah. Oh, women like that. Yeah. He's really? A soft, vulnerable guy.
All right.
Let me ask you something. Do women love you?
I don't know.
His wife does, I'm sure.
I haven't been out...
What's your wife's name?
Susan.
Robert, point. Just a point of reference. What? Nobody wants to hear they're soft.
No. It's too easy. It's too easy of a shot.
In the context of what?
Your personality. Your whole.
He's loving.
Yeah.
He's a good spirit.
He's soft. There's no agenda.
Is it a good spirit or
he's,
soft?
No, he's.
You're a soft good spirit.
Yeah. No. He. You can. You know. Some people are aggressive and hard.
Right.
Okay, certain times you don't want to be hard. You want to be soft. When you interact with someone, you don't want to be macho and aggressive. You want to be soft and vulnerable. I find you very soft and vulnerable. That's the type of guy I like.
Okay.
All right. And I promise
you. If you and Sue end your relationship and you're looking to start one up with another man,
wow.
you've got your
I promise prospect. You. Yeah. I promise you. That's what Sue likes also. Sight unseen. Okay.
Has Sue listened to anything?
No.
You think you were going to get psychoanalyzed?
Oh, well, it's going to happen. Yeah, it's got to happen.
I wonder what I'm going to be called.
Should it be flattered or should it be insulted? I don't know.
He was trying to compliment you. It may not have been a compliment,
soft,
but he was
clearly... Soft is kind of like... You could say like sensitive.
Sensitive.
Sort of neutral.
That's
sensitive.
What he was trying to
soft
say.
Soft is like you went from basketball to soft, so now it's like I'm not rebounding. You know what I mean?
No.
Right? And all you're doing is... What are you doing? You're like hanging back on D to wait for people?
Sensitive is sensitive, but soft is... It's a little insulting.
I would go with kind.
Well, yeah, no. I
find that offensive.
Yeah. You shouldn't find soft offensive either. And I, you know, by the end of this conversation, you will be nodding your head and being very happy that you're soft. You can't do Cheech and Chong stuff on soft.
He was trying to be complimentary.
No, 100%. But you don't force the issue. I mean, soft again. That when you speak to some people, they're difficult and hard. You're soft. You're just like a pillow, okay? Forget about all the connotations.
Later,
I get the qualitative statement. I just don't get the label. Like soft, you could
soft
see,
is. You know what is soft? Is to me, no. I'm going to defend him.
Yeah.
Defend exactly what
it has
saying.
A connotation.
Soft means you're not just getting in people's faces. Some people get in people's faces to get in people's faces.
Yeah.
You would never do that. You're not looking for confrontation. You're looking to
no, but you make it also.
Peaceful. You're a peaceful soul.
Yeah, you. The person speaking with you is comfortable speaking with you. You're kind of, you're a blank vapid. No, that's a joke. Oh, you're so not vapid. I just thought I'd throw in there.
By the way, Howie does all the edits. So
okay. No. You can edit.
No.
Okay. This is okay. Let's get this back to Swago. Okay. So.
Who do you?
Christ.
All right. So.
Just want to let you know that this kind little soul, how many times have you collected money for my company? What'd you get, 98% of the money this time?
Thank you. Aggressive lawyer.
That softness was...
Oh, again, it has no connotation to business, basketball, to anything.
You didn't like that? You did like
that. No, I did.
You should. It was totally honest.
Give that five.
All right, awesome. So, back to Swago. Tell us, so that was you. That's what you did when you got here. on your way here. Typical Robert Krause.
Great.
I know.
Perfect day.
I played basketball with you for a couple seasons. How many seasons did we do it?
And oh, by the way, you could be the best big man I ever saw in Swago.
Well, I don't know who's going on about someone else.
I don't know who your competition is. Ed brought up Scott Wolf. Scott Wolf was a great big man, but I guess
better than those guys. Yeah. I'm just being honest. Yeah. Scott, if you're listening, I play you one-on-one right now.
Yeah. Scott's in pretty good shape.
I'm
we
pretty
saw
good
him.
Shape.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Way better shape.
You are. Well, you're single.
I was
you have
in terrible
to.
Shape when we played basketball.
Yeah, you
I was
are.
In my worst
you
shape
are.
Of my life. And
you
I
are.
It out.
Are you still a sweater? I remember you were a great sweater.
Yeah.
Great sweater.
Even when I'm in better shape, I'm still a sweater.
Yeah.
It's
good.
You know what? I'm like Patrick Ewing. You start the game off with a full sweat.
Yeah.
You know, fucking like, but then getting back to David Feldman, who we spoke about. Not a fucking drop of sweat on that guy.
No.
48 minutes later, not a drop of sweat.
No. And a great basketball player.
This is being honest.
Yeah.
You are a pretty fucking amazing basketball player. I'm meaning that in the most genuine way.
Yeah, I agree.
Your ball handling, your savvy, your
unlike anybody else.
Yeah,
and,
well,
nobody,
yeah,
nobody really had his game.
And you know,
yeah,
to be,
no, people,
the rest of it wouldn't work if you didn't have that the shot on top of it.
Yeah.
You can nail.
Sick.
I'll tell you what I was amazed
it's
by.
Sick. Thank you.
Bobby would go, Robert.
Yeah.
Bobby's
you go, Bobby. You
Bobby,
have Bobby's
fine. Bob's okay.
Yeah.
He would like nail like three-pointers in a row from like 7 feet beyond the line.
Yeah.
Like,
Shotzi shouldn't
all the other guys, like Shotzi, you know, that coach is like, no, good shot.
Roy Herman.
Yeah. And honestly, it was, you know, when the other team is going, what the fuck is that? How tall are you?
6 feet even.
5'3".
Oh.
Who the fuck is this 5'6" Jewish guy? I don't know how tall you are, but nailing the like rainbows from fucking far away and with like confidence and like it isn't like.
But that's not his game because now you get the impression that it's like he hangs out like 40 feet from the basket.
No, it's all set up by his ability to handle the ball and drive as well.
I can't do it anymore though.
I hear you.
Yeah, but
can't
do it
I was blown away by how good
I appreciate
you were,
that.
And our team wouldn't have done as well had Robert not been.
That's very nice of you. That's
team.
Very kind.
Robert and Dave in the backcourt is a pretty fucking good backcourt, right?
Dave was unbelievable.
Dave's unbelievable. Anyway,
okay. That's very nice. Basketball's my life, and also platform tennis, paddle tennis. If anybody knows platform tennis,
I knew that about you.
Yeah.
Actually,
okay.
For a long time.
So yes, sports is one thing, but small part of life. So here I am.
It's a big part of life.
It is. It's a huge part
I
of
think
life.
It's small.
Yeah. Who are you kidding? Okay. So
I mean, it's not that important to me anymore, but it was at a point in everyone's life.
Howie, do you remember I tried to teach you how to shoot?
No, in fact, your lesson took.
Yeah,
did you hear my comment about Les Miller's shot? Agree?
100%.
Like
it's a weird shot.
Is this weird,
it's a
like,
weird
what the
shot.
Fuck was that shot?
Do you know how I can't remember Dilly squat, right? But I can remember anybody I ever played basketball with, I could remember their basketball game and how they shot.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You name a guy, I could tell you how he shot.
Anyway.
Okay, so let's get back to Swago. Let's start with Swago. So here I am growing up in Forest Hills, Queens, all right? But not the Forest Hills that most people think of, you know, the cement part of Forest Hills. And
That's what most people think of.
Well, no, I thought that most people think of, the tennis, you know, tennis.
The
tennis. Yeah, okay. So
the Tudor.
Tudors, exactly.
The garden department Tudors.
So every summer, I had nothing to do because kids would go to bungalow camps, bungalow colonies. No one would really go to Why?
That's where you missed our preamble.
Why?
And we were discussing how people...
How summer camp.
We're not going to... How did the whole Jewish New York thing get into camps? And we're like, it's because our parents went to bungalow colonies way back when. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so they'd go to bungalow colonies and I'd have nothing to do. Okay, I'd have nobody to play with.
So family would take you to bungalow?
I didn't go to bungalow colonies. This was, you know, I went when I was a little kid to bungalow colonies. But when I was like 10, 9, 8... You know, at 11, I had nothing to do. I had nobody to play with.
Yeah, you came late.
No, I hadn't. My parents didn't have money. I had nothing to do. I used to play punch ball with myself. It was horrible. I had nothing to do when the summer came. So I go to junior high school, and my father makes a little money. And two of my good friends in junior high school, Mitchell Stein and Dean Bernstein, okay? Yes, they might be Jewish, okay? And meet these two guys. We become best friends. And my father says I can go to sleepaway camp. Mm. And go, oh boy.
Like he brought it up to you?
Yeah.
And you were excited about that?
Oh my
God. Like,
oh.
Get out of here.
Oh my God. So.
Did Dave come to your house?
Wait. So Mitchell went to Tyler Hill.
Wow.
And Dean went to Swago.
Dean Bernstein is
familiar. Yeah.
Dean Bernstein.
Dean Bernstein,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Okay, so I look at Tyler Hill. I don't know if the guy came out or whatever, but it's amazing. I did not get a good feeling of it. Even, you know, I'm 12 or 13 at that point, and it just looked...
Of all the camps you went to for intercamp or whatever, Tyler Hill had the feeling that was very much like, I don't belong here more than, for me... Yes. More than Equinox.
I hated it.
All the others felt like Swago-like camps.
I hated it.
It was that boy. It was the co-ed thing, and it was.
It was just. It was.
It just didn't feel.
It was manicured. It was manicured.
Yeah.
And contrived. I didn't like that pitch.
Yeah,
and then Dave. Then Dave came in. You know, Dave came in. I don't know. He showed me a movie or a thing, and you know, and I just. I just remember the
vision. Remember we used to do movies on those.
Oh, that's what it was—a slideshow. I couldn't think.
Right?
You're right.
Those, like slide things. They
slides.
Slide
yeah.
The way the world hasn't changed.
Yeah. It's a 1972 PowerPoint. Yeah.
Right. It's like click next.
And what I saw there, I just remember it was. You know, the lighting wasn't great, but I remember it was like green. It was just green. And I grew up in cement. And it just, I just had a feeling. I said, okay, not even close. Done. Dean, I'm going to Swago. So, first day, my parents drive me out to the Valley Stream parking lot.
Green Acres
is in Valley Stream, right? And I got to tell you, I am so nervous. I mean, I'm really nervous. I mean, I can't wait to get the F away from my parents. You know, that's no problem. But I'm nervous because... I know that there's a lot of kids from Long Island.
Not them.
What were you nervous about?
These kids.
Not fitting in, the rich kids?
Rich kids.
Right.
Rich kids. You know, I didn't have any
Swago
money.
Swago was never about rich as much as other
nobody
camps
touted
were.
They're like, my family's so rich shit. Nobody
I don't
ever
think,
pulled that.
I mean, I'm sure there were wealthy people at Swago, but it wasn't like, there's the billionaires at Swago. It wasn't that
it,
about
it,
that.
It was somebody that somebody drove up in a Rolls Royce, I think, for visiting day.
Yeah, Johnny Lieberbaum's father used to drive up in this Excalibur.
Right.
Do you remember that?
It was him.
Are you embarrassed by that, John? We're looking forward to
how's
hearing
that for a
your
good
feedback.
Story from our years.
Johnny doesn't get embarrassed. Johnny's a secure dude. He doesn't get embarrassed.
Well.
He's come a long way.
That's the facade.
No.
Sunday,
No. It's not the facade because he's gone through his insecure times and he's come out on, you know, on the right side.
I think he's still in the middle of it, but we're going to find
no.
out.
No, he's great.
An invite to the show.
He's great. And I'll tell you, I got Lieberbaum stories also. Okay, so here's the first. So
Green
I'm
Acres.
So nervous.
Green Acres.
I get on the bus and I mean, I'm not speaking with any type of hyperbole. I'm telling you, I can taste.
This is the only time you've ever been reserved in your life.
No, I can taste the nervous feeling. I remember the nervous feeling. And then a guy walks in, coming down the aisle, Mr. Frigging Long Island, you know, as a 13-year-old. He's good looking, he's loud, he's a little aggressive, and that was the first time I met Michael Morse.
Oh, my God. It doesn't sound like him.
Yeah, because I knew Michael Morse before
before he lost his ego.
Oh, Michael Morse did lose his ego, but back then he had his ego. Hold on, where did Alan go?
Alan,
I know he left.
I think he's mixing drinks.
All right, Alan.
You can hear the ice maker in the background.
Alan,
what?
I'm ready for one.
You ready for one? Are we on pause?
No.
Pause.
No.
Pause.
We are now. We'll be right back.
All right.
Right, we're back now.
Where did we leave off?
Whether or not the show's a comedy or a drama.
It's not a comedy per se, but clearly we're trying to inject it with a comedic element.
Right.
I mean,
which it would naturally.
Who doesn't
want to
laugh?
Honestly,
reminiscing's great, but laughing. What'd you do on the ski slope? But fucking laugh constantly.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Let me just say this: I saw a Woody Allen movie, Blue Jasmine. I didn't laugh much, and I thought it was fabulous.
I didn't say that. There's
that's
drama.
Fabulous.
It's not worthy.
But you go to a Woody Allen movie, you think you're gonna laugh a little bit. Anyone, if you don't like the Blue Jasmine,
I enjoyed it.
Did you see it?
Very much.
I loved it
a lot.
Have not seen it.
You know what though?
What?
I enjoy our podcast even more because it's funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. We'll make
so
it funny.
Green Acres,
Green Acres.
Okay. So Green
Acres. So you see Mike Moss.
So I see Mike Moss. Okay, and Mike Moss scared the shit out of me.
Jasmine, you're like
what?
What? If you don't run to the theater now?
Yeah. Fruitvale Station also.
I enjoyed that
too. Man.
But
oh man,
kind of fucked up.
The
guy only is off with like in 11 months. That cop's gone.
No.
True story.
No, no, don't, don't tell anybody. No. No one remembers that.
Fortunately, there's only maybe 100 of you out there that we might be. It's a true story.
I know, but don't ruin it. Okay. Right. Okay. So let's get back to Morse. So Morse...
I'm sorry. We're not at that point where we have to do spoiler. Folks, if you're listening, I want to make sure you turn down your volume for the next 30 seconds because Alan just told you what happened at the end of Fruitvale Station.
Okay, so Morse in the bus scared the crap out of me because he seemed like an aggressive type of Long Islander.
So you're saying he's like a jappy? Like
wasn't jappy, but he was not the Morse you know. He
like
was
fine aggression, like he's like
he was just
bragging. What is
yeah, he was just
opposite of moi.
He wasn't soft. I didn't feel like I could, you know, whatever. So,
but he's such a soft guy. Like,
it's not funny. It's, you know, you can deconstruct that. Most people who come off noisy read moi, not moi,
meaning Robert Krause.
Moi. Interesting, now we have a meaning for the name moi.
Yeah, you know, I'm noisy.
This is moi. I'm like, it's not French for me.
I'm noisy, but most noisy people are noisy because they're not comfortable being who they are. And most noisy people...
You feel
people,
the need to fill the room with your voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Because if I don't, you're going to not look at me because I'm so disgusting.
What?
You know?
You're really
handsome. No. I'm just saying in general...
With a great jump shot.
No.
Even better.
No. I'm just saying, in general, you find people who are noisy are clearly compensating for not being comfortable. Because if you're comfortable, you don't need to yap so much. So I've spent years being uncomfortable... I've spent years being uncomfortable. I've learned how to be quiet, but not on this podcast.
That's an exception.
So I can, you know, I can be selectively noisy. So I'm being selectively noisy now.
We probably haven't done one thing on your notes yet.
So no. Okay, let me continue with Morse.
Okay.
So right away with Morse, I go at it with him. I feel I'm nervous, but I feel like I have to. He's challenging me.
Punch the.
You're on the
out.
Bus, or this is pre
on the bus. On the bus. Let me explain to you
that ride feel like it was forever.
Wait,
I can't remember. I get into three arguments with him, three challenges on the bus. That as soon as we get off the bus, my first day in Swago, I have three contests with Morse.
Mm-hmm.
Contest number one, who can spit better?
What does better be?
Further in accuracy. I wanted to go accuracy because I used to have kids stop in PS220 and I used to spit by their head.
Pinpoint accuracy. Nice.
He wanted to go distance. I went distance with him.
And?
He beat me.
Oh, shit.
He had great lungs.
Really rough.
Next was teeth point.
Yeah, teeth. Okay. After that was, of course, basketball, one-on-one.
Okay.
Oh.
Now, Morse was a good basketball
player.
Player.
But he didn't have your shot.
Morse
was technically very
good.
Morse was a good player.
Again,
you know what, though? He got in his own head about his game. He would get so upset about what he was doing if he didn't make it perfect.
For sure.
And it's like, dude, nobody does it 100%
for
right.
Sure.
And he would get crazy for the one time.
But
he was super solid ball player.
When he was 13 and 14 and, you know, the mind chatter wasn't affecting him, he was a great basketball player. Great basketball player.
Mind chatter.
Yeah. He beat me. No problem.
Two nothing.
Two nothing.
So this is
okay.
Over.
It's over. Yeah, but it didn't matter. Yeah, but it went third event. Ready? I give you. This is pretty stupid.
So we had
a big fight on who could make better Russian dressing.
Oh yeah.
I think Moss told me this.
Yeah,
story.
We made it.
Really?
This actually resonates.
Yeah, I came in with my beautiful combination of ketchup and mayo, and I just felt it was all about combination. But because he was from Massapequa, he knew about relish. He's cutting up pickles.
You were off the bus at this point.
Oh yeah, we were in the dining room cutting up pickles and celery.
Driver, pass me a pickle.
So he made, you know, I'm fighting with him that Russian dressing is not all about the relish, whatever. I'd have to give him, he beat me 3-0. That's all I want to say.
So that's your boss.
Oh,
that's my first day.
You're putting your place now. Now he's got it.
That's my first day. You think that's not a great first day in camp? I mean, it's pretty interesting.
Were you happy or were you bummed out?
Awesome. Yeah.
So let's see. 72.
Yeah.
How old are you this first
I'm
year?
I'm 13. I'm turning 14.
So that's very rare to start camp at that
it's
age.
Yeah, hard. Yeah.
You were jumping into like an established.
Yeah.
You started at 12 too, though, when?
Yeah. It's, you know, that's. I think, what, were you a Ranger or an Inter?
Inter.
I mean,
that's jumping in at the end. Yet, it's true. Like, you're really like a.
It's a little
a
bit of a
permanent fixture in the swing.
Well,
has anyone started that late?
Memory,
that kind
you're
of
in grade?
No.
Well, I'm glad we got the analysis on that one.
Okay.
Let's ask our listeners,
right?
Three of
our
the
poll.
80 of which were here. And if you know anyone who started after Krauss that made anywhere made near an impact, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
Continue.
So, at the end of this day, all right, mm-hmm. I'm in my bunk.
Day one,
an older kid comes in.
Older kid?
Steve Lapper. Okay. Steve Lapper was
the arson.
He was the pyromaniac of the camp.
Yeah.
Is that very, very nice, Howard? I'm going Howard, you know.
He was,
I didn't know he was the pyromaniac, but he came in and everyone said, oh, here's Lapper. You know, and Lapper goes, ready? He goes, I'm looking to break into the kitchen. Who wants to raid the kitchen with me? First night, raid the kitchen? I'm in. I go with Lapper. And we raid the friggin' kitchen.
Took some chocolate cake.
It was like mission. It was like Mission Impossible. We took a couple of packs of hot dogs.
Nice.
Okay.
They ate raw, uncooked hot dogs.
No, wait. We almost died. First of all, the act of being 13 in a far away place, and I didn't know what was going to happen. It was thrilling, utterly thrilling. I don't think this was going down at Tyler Hill on someone's first night. Okay, we come back to the bunk. Dean Bernstein, the guy who brought me to camp,
right.
He brought up from Halsey Junior High School in Queens, an oven that he made in metal shop. Okay, one of those little ovens that you plug in, and it's dangerous as can be, right? And by the way, the guy who ran metal shop, his name was Mr. Tershwell. Mr. Tershwell.
No, you're talking about your high school.
No, this is junior high school. But no, it's funny. No, it's just
really.
No, wait. All of
them.
Listen, Tershwell.
Hear about his fucking junior high school teacher.
Junior high school. Tershwell. You know, safety is important.
Yes,
Tershwell. Son. He effed up. He lost half of a finger. So in 1972,
the shop
it always happens in Tershwell.
In 1970,
well, the Tershwell.
In 1972, it was big on, you know, give me five. Can you give me five?
And it would give me four and a half.
It was Tershwell. Give me four and a half.
Going decimal on that.
So Dean had this oven. We plugged it in, and we were so stupid. We plugged it in by the sink in the bathroom. We cooked the hot dogs.
Okay.
Do you know how dangerous that was?
The sink in the bathroom?
Yeah.
As opposed to this.
Why is the plug any better in the main?
Yeah.
Because it was electricity, and what happened was we're cooking the hot dogs.
What's the relevance?
Because by the sink is water.
You know, other than the water that's boiling in your pot for your cooking your.
No. We put the hot dogs on the oven, and then we knocked it off, and it went into the sink, and we almost electrocuted ourselves.
Dangerous.
Okay,
that's a bad.
Did it actually fall?
So you had a big,
big
first night
day.
On your
big
first
day.
Did things settle in thereafter?
Things settled in. Okay, and I just want to say, at the end of that summer, I will never forget.
We shared the first year. I was a 72.
Yeah.
That's meaningful, I think. We had the first...
You were what, like a midi?
A frosh.
Oh, my... I used to love the little... Oh, I remember
Henry Cash.
Yeah.
The one thing I remember from Henry Cash more than anything, he would not let you drink water prior to swimming, like a half hour. He felt like you were going to get a cramp.
And die.
Lead to potential death.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Do they still... That's still part
no,
of
I think they sort of gone.
No,
I
said move past that you're going to die.
Who was in your bunk order? As Frosch?
David Feldman.
Oh,
I
my
think
God.
Was there my first year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Chris Schachter was like 40 years old and was there my first year.
He was a good basketball player. Was or is that
no,
Schechter,
Jeff Schachter?
Jeff Schachter. Yeah.
John Morrow, I believe.
Brucey's son
was.
Oh,
in
I got
first
Brucey's stories.
Like,
yeah,
he was there.
Yeah,
and. Who else? David Allen was maybe the next
cute
year.
Little
some
kid.
Of those guys got there like early. Like
they were
72,
right?
73, but they were there was no Jays my year. So whoever was bound to be a Jay was in my frosh year. And there was a woman along. They had a lady who would help, like take care of the frosh kids because it was you needed a motherly figure.
Yeah,
I forgot who she was, but with Henry Cash.
Why did your parents send you away? How old were you?
I was seven.
Seven.
Was like pretty much the first year, I think.
Yeah.
Even in this day and age, sort of okay to start saying.
What year did your parents get divorced?
They're still together.
Really?
Yeah.
And they sent you away at seven?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
It's amazing.
Well, Beth was gone. Beth was going to Sertona at that point, right?
Together?
Wait,
they
are.
Are they alive?
No, they're both dead.
Are so your parents
yeah,
dead?
Yeah, yeah. No. They're both dead. I was with.
Apologize.
I was with both of them when each one of them died. It was a tremendous experience. I was. Yeah. No, we're not going to talk about death. Although I love talking about death.
Beth had Sertona.
Beth went the same year I went.
Who's
she
Beth?
Was nine. My sister.
I picked her up at a bar recently.
She
did you hear?
Told me she ran into you.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah, yeah.
I got. I went to your house.
Oh yeah, no.
I met your dog Swago. Robert's dog's name, is it alive?
Dead. Died? Yeah, dead with my parents.
Wow. Yeah, with his parents. Yeah, I met Swago, his dog.
Yeah,
but that was cool.
Dog was so cool.
I met your kids.
Yeah,
I met your
all wife. Alive. Thank God. I just want to go. God, if you're listening to this podcast,
Robert has.
I just want to go through life with nothing happening to my kids, please. Oh, and
just
of course,
so everybody knows, Robert
Alan
lives like a solid life in Short Hills. You have a beautiful house, beautiful kids.
Yeah,
you've done well for yourself. Congratulations on your successes.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Yeah. I mean, utterly irrelevant, because let me tell you something that has nothing to do with happiness. No. Nothing. Zero. Less than zero.
Well, there's a call. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back to you in a moment. We're back.
Okay, we're back.
So, Robert.
Yo.
We're psyched to have you here. You have a lot of shit you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else. What do I want to talk about? Let me think.
Let me think.
So I told you about Moss.
I'm just
jotting down notes. I'm old, and I need to remind myself of things. Okay, so Moose. Let me just get to Moose. Moose gets probably too much airtime, but given his political given his political views.
This from the man who was going to strike the waiters.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was not a bigger injustice in camp for this guy not to be a color war leader. Let me explain myself, okay? Of the six people that were a color war leader, none of them were uber athletes, notwithstanding Mitch Kaplan's nice basketball shot.
You were Moose's year?
I was a year ahead of Moose.
You're
so I was a waiter when Moose was... Okay. It wasn't... The group wasn't brimming with outstanding athletes. What have you. Moose was the greatest camper out there. I mean, he was just bigger than life, you know, figuratively, literally, everything.
Like, as a little kid, like the older kids knew him and got
Yeah, I mean, he was just great.
I remember Moose, even from my early years. Moose was a person that you just knew about.
Yeah, you know, Neil Simon and Woody Allen and Larry David couldn't write a character like this guy. I mean, with that voice, he was great. And let me just back it up.
Okay.
Cousin Brucey. So Cousin Brucey was this big shot. He really was a big shot DJ on
WABC.
WABC.
770 on the main stations for AM radio.
Big. So he had a healthy opinion of himself. And I remember being at... Oh, my God. I'm gonna utter these words without giving it its proper reverence, because I don't think anyone's spoken about this, although Ricky Lauber highlighted it this past week on the site. I was at the Artesian Well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just digress for a second. Mm-hmm. So as a kid growing up playing sports in New York City parks, the one thing is you never could get a good water fountain. I mean, you go to that water fountain, the water would come out, it would go this high off. You couldn't let your lips touch it because you would die of AIDS, even though AIDS wasn't there.
Right.
And the water would be so warm. And back then, you were a kid, you needed cold water. You don't realize that as an adult, that you really need to drink water at your temperature, 98.6, not ice cold water. So the first time I go to the Artesian Well, okay, I mean, I am...
Magical.
Oh, totally.
He's lost the spit contest to Moss.
Totally, right. I needed milk.
Need to refill, right.
So I'm at the Artesian
There's
Well.
There's a big, solid fucking stream that came
out. Oh, it was great. Right. And
it's like a good foot high.
Yeah, no, it was
a little
foot
broad,
high.
Though.
Yeah.
It was a broad stream.
Yeah.
It wasn't
narrow.
It was broad. You had to catch it all.
No, but it hit your lips.
And you like that. It hit your face and everything, yeah.
And the quality and the texture was just insane.
It was kind of like the same thing with the lake. It had this slipperiness to it that was just like a magical...
Really? I didn't think so. I thought it was just good tasting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have liked the slipperiness. Like,
no, I
don't
mean it that way. It was like, I agree
we
with
had
you.
That conversation. Like we once had an argument.
I hate every
We had that argument.
I kind of remember.
You're an
every
unliker.
I was an every unliker. I went to poll... But, and you guys, we had a big argument on
That's
that.
That's a film. Evian has like a film.
It's like a mineral oil.
I don't like Evian anymore.
I like
Poland Spring.
Right. It's lighter.
Yeah.
It's more. That's what I'm talking about. That's
so I was at the Artesian Well. I turn around and there's Cousin Brucey. And Cousin
Wait, Grits, this is after like the
no, this Sagamore? Is like no, no, no. This is before Sagamore.
Okay.
And Cousin Brucey goes to me, oh, what activities do you have today? You know, and I go, we have capture the flag.
Great game.
And he goes, oh, capture the flag. Whoa,
really?
And I'm, yeah, wow.
homophobic shit.
What happened? And not that I knew what homophobia was back then, but it was so stupid. I remember just looking at him and just saying, oh my God, what a blowhard. Fast forward to Moose doing his Sagamore thing, and you wouldn't know it from this podcast, but I am a student of comedy. I am a frustrated comedian.
Student of comedy.
I love comedy. I love comedy. I love comedy. Okay.
I love
an aficionado.
Yeah, but yeah, I love whatever. All I'll tell you is that. Is that what Moose did to Cousin...
Which comedy school did you go to?
Stop it. What Moose did... What Moose did to Cousin Brucey was... It was...
You tore him up?
Oh.
Really? Like a heckler kind of thing?
No, it was just perfect. It was so perfect. We were laughing so hard. It was just perfect.
And did you get the sense that Brucey was getting offended and that made it even funnier?
Brucey was okay. I think he was getting a little bit upset, but he was okay. He was a professional enough to know that...
Right.
He couldn't compete with this
motherfucker. That's crazy.
Moose was unbelievable. The fact that Moose, if that was the reason, it could only be the reason because, like I said, he would be number one on the list. I loved all those people in the bunks. You know, I had no agenda. I didn't even, you know, I wasn't friendly with Moose. But if you had to do an objective analysis, mm-hmm. the guy was number one. Yeah. He was number one really? To be a color world leader. And the fact that he became number seven.
And he was the mayor, too, at the time.
Oh, my God. So. It was very, very...
I don't think he was number seven. I think he was number not.
Yeah. Well,
right?
My point
right.
being is there's only
right.
six.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, oh, someone yeah. was better than you.
But
yeah.
it's funny because in
who
retrospect...
Who was in your bunk? Like, when you start... Sorry, go
That's
ahead.
Okay. Like, in retrospect, it seems like such a minor sort of violation, like going to Sagamore and just, you know... Having a riff off with Cousin Brucey, like how
you really
Cousin
think
Brucey
that
he tortured him. He tortured him, and then he did
and
the.
Dave took that so personally.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, Dave, rest his soul, was a little bit of a baby. You know, and then he did the thing with Rita. You know,
right.
where it was hilarious. Moose as Rita. I mean, it was hilarious with two volleyballs with that. You know, that Jewy voice from Brooklyn. Let us, you know,
he has a good voice.
Oh, just it was unbelievable when he was blessing the candles. Okay. So that was Moose.
Who was in your bunk? I'm just curious what your...
My bunk was Moss, Dean Bernstein, Bobby Golden, Jimmy's younger brother, the irrepressible. I mean, this guy also was just a piece of work. J-Bow. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, let's say this about the camp. The amazing thing about this camp, I mean, so many amazing things, was that the Nebishes, and Jay, you know, you're no longer a Nebish, but you were then. You know, the Nebishes that we had were so outstanding. You know, the Brad Kushners, the Richard Lifschultz. Yeah, you know, Lifschultz. The Johnny Lieberbaums.
Oh, I don't know if he's happy that you just did that.
He secured that.
Johnny, that was my way of saying you've come a long way, but you were a handful. but Jay Baum was, you know, again, you know, from Brooklyn, he was a, you know, but he was great. He had a personality, you know, as he ran to that nature shack every day. he was great. He became a mayor. I mean, he was just great.
He was a
brilliant
mayor.
Yeah, Tippecanoe yeah. and Boomer too. I mean, it was very unusual.
Last time. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I believe that was an old saying from
it was
a presidential
and something. Yeah. I forgot what
yeah.
it was. But it
so
was,
the one
Tippecanoe.
The one thing.
It's funny.
You know the
canoe
one
trip Tippecanoe.
The one thing, if I can go back in time, I would love to be nicer to all those, you know, nerds. I wish I could be nicer.
Mean to them?
I wasn't mean to them. There were so many nerds. There were a few nerds, and there were some invisible people that, you know, I just
better to be a nerd than an invisible person.
I just wish, like, there were a couple of guys in the bunk that I can't even remember their names.
Yeah.
Howie Greenberg and a blonde haired kid, maybe Josh. I don't know. And
I don't remember. It doesn't mean to him, though.
No.
But
no,
if I can't remember them, that means I wasn't shining. I wasn't shining my unusual energy onto them, and they felt invisible. And they felt. I wish I could have done that. Let me tell you. That's how I always. I noticed some people were great at that.
Right.
You know, some of the. If you were an older guy and you had cachet, and you were nice to younger people, I thought the world of you. Let me tell you one of those people. Ready? Mm-hmm. Brian Burke. Brian Burke was just, he was a great athlete. Eddie spoke about him, but, you know, in case, you know, their fraternal relationship, you think it was biased.
Right.
He was a great athlete, great basketball player, hard-nosed basketball player. And Eddie, you also said that Neil Marder was the best basketball talent. I take issue with that. Neil Marder, who's a dentist in Israel right now, Neil Marder was one of the greatest scorers.
Dentist in Israel.
Yeah, was one of the greatest scorers in Swago history. But, I didn't like his all-around game.
If you score 88 points in that,
yeah, he was unbelievable. I mean, it's off the charts.
Really?
Yeah.
88
off the charts. Yeah, yeah. He was off the charts. And you know what the scary thing about it was? Was like maybe the best looking guy in Swago also. I mean, he was cool looking.
Neil Marder.
And he became a dentist in Israel. And I go to Israel.
Did you say that with the district?
No. He came in. You just wouldn't expect it. You know, again, he should be in Hollywood.
Sounds like a nice life.
Tell me
life.
He's a bus driver.
Yeah, hey, listen to me. I am going to look him
like
up.
A my... nice life, being a dentist in Israel. What? Just something.
He's got seven daughters, I heard.
That doesn't sound nice.
How come we don't know more about Neil Marder, though? It would seem like this guy would be somewhat legendary, and I don't really know.
I really didn't. If you said before this...
Oh, my God. What a basketball player.
Started, if someone would have said Neil Marder, like, I don't know.
I'd be like, Neil later.
Yeah. Like, Neil later. Yeah, I know Neil later. Oh, my Lord. okay, so let's continue. Neil Marder, great basketball player. Brian Burke always treated everybody beautifully. And to me, that was the mark of a, you know, really, really agreed. Super guy. Because as a work in progress, you know, we were all such works in progress. And, you know, it was messy back then. Everybody was messy at that age, right?
14's a tough age.
Yeah, but even 14 through 19, even the people you were looking up to were all effed up, you
right,
know?
Right.
Let me give you a point. Roy Herman.
You have to tell us. I don't really know anything about Roy Herman.
Roy Herman was, I mean...
He's someone you all looked up to?
My Lord.
My impression of the Hermans is that they're infallible. Like, they were like the greatest of the Swago men.
Really?
I always had this sort of impression about them.
I always thought of them as being like a basketball family at Swago.
Well, not certainly not Glenn Herman. I mean, Glenn Herman, who...
No, we heard that
Eddie
last
talk
week,
about the
yeah.
Richard Gere look-alike. I mean... Absolutely.
Did he look like Richard Gere at all?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. But he looked like Richard Gere as an adult, but when he was a kid, he was a cool looking hippie. He was a real hippie. Mm-hmm. Didn't play any sports. And I remember I was a very advanced first year guy at 13, coming from Queens.
Yeah.
Right. I remember going into the woods with him and Gordy. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Gordy. I think it's okay. And they brought out. What you did in, you know, 1972, okay? Right. So, you know, we smoked. Thank you.
Well, would you have to yell that?
I'm sorry for yelling that. We smoked what we needed to smoke, and I remember they were so generous. And, like, I came from... I was kind of lame. I didn't understand the rhythms back then. Because from Queens, what do I owe you for that? You know,
Get gas money.
You're
going to
pay him for giving you a little of his joint?
Yeah, get stoned with a guy, and I wanted to pay him. And I just remember Glenn just, like, looking at me incredulously, just saying, no, it's cool. So Glenn was different from Roy and Neil, you know?
Would you rather be a really good basketball player at 14 or really handsome later in life? If you had to choose those two. Glenn may have been the winner.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, being handsome is like, I mean, the three of us.
It's
overrated. It's overrated. You know, all looks are the stupidest thing in the world.
I'm trying to give Glenn a little.
Yeah, no. Looks are the stupidest thing in the world. Looks is just what you're born with. I never understand why this. Sorry. Why the world focuses on looks.
It's instinctual. You're
is it really when cavemen were when in the cavemen?
You were attracted to all along the way. Humans have been attracted to certain things.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, when you're young and stupid, but when you get older, you realize
it's part.
No, 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, even in terms of your sort of
you're so full of shit.
No, I swear to God, No, listen, I'm out of the mark. Look. If I was in the market to have sex with somebody, would I hope that the person was better looking than
Then what?
Or just somebody that you're physically attracted to.
Yeah. Wait. Why did you interrupt him? This was... He might have really put his fucking foot in his mouth.
No.
Let him talk. You know, give him enough rope.
Bottom line is, Kim, I mean, you are beautiful. I love you. And
is she going to listen? You think your wife's going
to
listen?
I'm absolutely going to force everybody in my life to listen. Do you understand?
You think you're going to get better listens than our other podcasts? Are you that... sure of yourself and competitive?
Well, no, I'm going to force people to listen. I'm going to go.
Force? You're going to stand there with a gun at their head and listen to this podcast?
I'm going to go to their houses and I'm going to play it for them. And I'm going to make them listen to everything I say. Of course. Why not?
I have physical attractiveness.
Whatever it takes to get more listeners, I want you to do.
It's a simple concept. Look, when you're 17, when you're 15, all you're looking at, is tits and ass. But... as you get older, you realize that it's
always like the eyes.
Yeah. Well, you're single. But, you're single. Let me ask you something.
And you're in your 40s now.
So let me ask you something straight up. You meet a girl who's beautiful, mm-hmm. and somehow you put her into a drug coma, and you get her into bed.
That's bad.
If you have relationships with somebody and they're physically attractive, right. but you don't have a mental connection,
right. of course,
it's hard.
Yeah, isn't it better to have someone who's less and
of
you have
course.
The mental?
Yes.
Okay, so of course. But when you were 15, you just wanted.
Isn't it better to have a mental connection, a emotional connection, or whatever, with a very hot girl? That would be better than.
I could only imagine.
Your wife is beautiful.
Let me tell you something.
Your wife is stunning.
Yeah, listen to me. My wife, we're not going to do this. Yeah.
If you want to move on after his comments, I'm single.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. He's not as soft. Well, it's interesting.
I'm definitely not as soft.
Listen
as
to me.
Ours.
It's not.
Jesus Christ.
It's interesting. No. Here's the difference. It's that you're better looking than him. You're a very good looking guy, so be happy with that.
Nice.
Yeah. You don't think he's better looking than you? He's the best looking guy here. That's okay. It's no big deal.
Howard is a handsome.
Robert has made up for a soft comment.
But listen, won him over so fucking big time. Yes, I am the third best looking guy here.
Oh, I was going to maybe give you second, but okay. I'll
I'm going to take third.
But here's the deal. Alan, here's the deal. Okay? If I was a girl, I don't know if I would be more attracted to Howard than you because. You put out a different type of energy, which is very attractive.
You're attractive, but you're boring.
I'm the guy you can't make the mental connection.
I think I might be more attracted to you. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
God bless you.
So if you were to swing that way, you'd choose me over Howard?
No, I don't need to swing. I'm not looking to have man-on-man sex.
It was an if.
It's coming from a male perspective.
It's not if. I'm saying if I was a woman. I have.
Here's the thing.
Yeah. What?
No, keep going.
Listen, if...
I want to get back to this thing.
Yeah. I'm able to calibrate...
He thinks you're more handsome than I am.
No, I'm not.
Of course you're not. He thinks you're more handsome than I am. Why would you...
surprised you think it's that objective.
No, I don't. That's my point. That was the point that I was going to make. All right, continue.
I think it's much easier to calibrate a male's attractiveness, mm-hmm. not by thinking, mm-hmm. If you were to have sex with him, because that kind of short circuits the whole thought process.
If you're heterosexual,
yes. But I think in terms of if I was a woman, right. Let me say it one more time.
But then it's, you can't. If
I was a woman, and I know what it's like to be a woman. I have.
Do you? Why?
Yes.
What is happening in your life?
What's your experience?
No.
I'm just in touch with my female side. I love women. We all love women. I know what it's like to be a woman. Let me just go on the record here and say I do believe in 500 years from now, I believe women will be running the world. I believe women will be running the world.
500 years.
Hopefully before that. I believe it's imperative. My friends, they gave me tequila. I'm a little bit loose right now. I believe it's imperative.
You're finally being honest.
I'm being honest the whole time. I believe it's imperative right. that women run the world because
why?
Men and testosterone clearly F it up. I mean, look at the world. I mean, would the world be like this if women were the head of every country? No, they'd get together and it would. It would be much better.
Do you think it's a balance, though? Do you think the whole thing is a matter of sort of yin and yang?
No.
You want both?
No. I don't see anything attractive.
Like, I think the balance of it is what...
No, I don't see anything attractive about male qualities. I feel male qualities are just incredibly yicky.
Distasteful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just totally distasteful. I mean, what do you like about
Hillary
a male quality?
Clinton was the president of the United States.
Well, she's got a lot of male qualities. But
that was about where I was going to go. Every woman that's become a leader...
Yeah.
Has the same attributes of any male leader.
That's why it's
in terms
gonna,
of their political positions yes. and their stances, and also
that's why it needs to be evolved a little bit. Like Obama, who I was for in a very passionate way. You know,
now where are you?
A little bit more lukewarm on him.
Right, right.
You know, I was for him, you know, being a child of the 60s. You know, I mean, I love the fact that, you know, we elected an African-American. I just wish that, you know, he would govern the country as well as he campaigned. And I just think there's been a little bit of a drop-off. But, you know, I'm still a big fan of his, and, you know,
right.
compared to
right.
a
You're just frustrated
Republican.
That you didn't get that fantasy that you were hoping
yeah,
for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's basically what the liberal
Democrat
world is.
Yeah.
Well, every New York Jew's lean Democrat.
I know.
That's just the way it is.
Okay.
By the way.
So,
by the way,
the soft guy doesn't
soft dude here. He's a libertarian.
That's okay. A libertarian like Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
my.
He takes it sometimes that extreme.
Oh my.
The libertarian.
I mean, not
thing
so much
is
in
down
terms
with,
of international relations, but in terms of
can we be
in terms of domestic
here?
Civil liberties and stuff. Yeah, sure.
You're a bit of a conspiracy guy too.
A little bit.
A little bit. You think that we didn't land on the moon?
No, I think we did land on the moon, but
we didn't get back.
I don't think it's absurd to question whether we did.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Absurd to question anything, but
yeah, no,
that's,
I agree with that also.
Point.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But you're saying, do you believe or not believe that we got
back
from?
If somebody put a gun in my head and said you have to guess correctly, did we get to the moon? I'd say yes, but. Do you know, if I had to put the odds, I'd say it's like, I don't know, 85-15 maybe.
No. You've never made money gambling. Because
I've never gambled, actually.
You've never gambled?
I've never been into gambling.
Oh, you are soft.
I am soft, that one. The gambling's never appealed to me.
Let me go on record here right now. My 22-year-old son is begging me to find a bookie that will book this action. He wants to book the Yankees to win the World Series right now at 50-1 odds. 50-1.
Is that what the odds are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How, 50-1.
I don't follow baseball. How
yeah.
far out are they?
They're 7 games out of a playoff race.
How many games left? Like, where are we?
There's enough games for them to come back. But yeah, that's just a side.
So what's your moon landing odds then? If 85-15 is way off.
100% that it landed because yeah. the volume, the number of people that would have
yeah.
to be involved in a
conspiracy yeah. Yeah.
would be so broad
yeah.
that I just don't think it could not get out.
I'll tell you
that's
this,
my,
though.
That's my opinion.
I think your numbers yeah. probably bang on for Oswald.
Kennedy assassination?
Yeah, Oswald being a sole...
What's that? What is that conspiracy exactly?
Oh, there was, you know, the mafia involved in that.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I could buy into that
Oh,
one.
Yeah, that one, yeah, for sure.
Well, Kennedy was just banging girls left and right. He was connected with whomever.
Kennedy
I
was...
I could only imagine who he pissed off along the
oh,
way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kennedy was the presidential version of Swagoite Alan Epstein, I think.
Super
that,
Jew?
Yeah.
Alan, tell us about Alan Epstein.
How did
I don't know
Super
much
Jew?
About Alan Epstein.
Oh, no, I know he's not... I mean, Alan Epstein was there my first year. He was a counselor, and he... You know, he was like
a former camper that became a counselor.
Yeah, Alan Epstein, I believe, besides me, was also a 3-year color war leader. You know, only being
3-year color.
There's been a handful of people who have only gone to camp for 3 years and become
oh,
a color war leader.
Right.
And
impressive.
I think he was one of them. Yeah, yeah.
During like a strong time in Swago, this isn't like you walked into
there's
like the waning years.
Oh, no, no.
Like
a lot of things had happened.
Very
Let's go to that. Let's go to that for a second. That's interesting, okay? Well, before we go to that, let me tell you my first color war. You know, I was obviously, again, the kid from Queens, blown away by color war, loved it.
You should just keep talking. I'm just checking
the time. He's checking time.
I just want to know how
long. I haven't even started yet.
You're forever.
Okay.
How much are we at?
An hour eight.
We're an hour eight in. He hasn't said
I haven't started yet. Yeah.
We're
going to
let it roll.
You're going to probably have to edit. Okay. So
there's no editing, by the way. We're going to roll with
this. All right. Oh, God. I'm sorry for boring.
As they say, Swago after dark.
Yeah.
If we stop, you have another drink, and we continue.
Yeah.
And say things we're not really that.
No, okay. Just let me. Okay. So my first year at Swago, again, this is. You know, I don't know if this has any value to anybody listening to it, but it's meaningful to me. So
that's great. That'll do really well for our fucking
I don't know. They can be the judge of it, but I'm just telling you, it's real for me.
The ratings are going down.
A moon landing conspiracy, though. So.
I think people will be interested.
So after the Color War Sing, you know, my first year, I don't remember if I won or lost, but I remember going over to the girls' side, right. And we gotta get to girls in a second because you guys don't talk about Suetone.
Did you hear After Dark?
I did hear After Dark. I heard everything. We're gonna get. Oh, yeah, I'll get right to it.
I have some questions for you too. Moss told me some stories.
Okay.
About it.
So when I went to the girls' side after our sing, and I see them do the sing, I have to tell you, my Lord, the girls did, you guys won't know the song, by Procol Harum, Conquistador, and they did a song where I'm watching, and I'm crying.
Like you're moved?
I'm moved! I'm fucking crying!
Inter-year, your first year.
I am crying.
They
let you guys ball over to the girl. I don't remember as inters being over to the Suetone Sing.
Well, then I can't say for sure it was an inter. I thought it was.
Maybe it was the next year.
Well, I don't know. It just blew me. A Conquistador. What a great song. And they did it beautifully, and I loved it. Okay, so then when I came back as a senior, a second-year senior, a couple of things happened that was fortunate. One, Moss and Dean Bernstein, for some reason, I believe, decided to go to Camp Chippenaar. I don't know why, to become counselors.
Yeah, it is. I remember
Moss was a counselor at another camp.
Moss did go to Chippenaar for some reason.
I think so.
Why was he a counselor there? Was that as a waiter, maybe?
Maybe as a waiter. Okay. Maybe they were looking to make money. Okay. I don't know. So they went. Another camper, Steve Eckert, and let me just say this, Steve Eckert, Mama Eckert, he was in the bunk next to me with Michael Kay and Brad Kushner and Peter Kaplan. I always remember that bunk because the bunk that I went to as an inter was, you know, not a bunch of guys that had been together for a long time. The bunk next to me, what would that be, L4? I was in L5 maybe. And they were just so together and they just loved each other. And that was the amazing thing I noticed about the bunks, all these group of eight guys that kind of grew up together. It's just family. It's better than family because you're only with each other for 2 months a year. Exactly. Just the rhythms, it was just great. So Steven Eckert, and who, by the way, was a fabulous basketball player. He was my height. He was tough as hell, great to the hoop. And he should have been a Color War leader, but he, Moss, Bernstein, he did something else. I think he went on a team tour, and all of them, not Dean, I don't think, but Moss and Eckert came back in the middle of the summer. Mm-hmm. So they were already
eliminated from contention.
Eliminated, mm-hmm. Yes. Now, I did a deal. It was the best deal I ever did. At the beginning of the year, I knew it was going to be hard for me to be a Color War leader. Pearl, what are you doing over there? I'm not listening
to everything you're saying.
Well, yeah, Pearl is doing, he's on his laptop. Online. You can't do that. I mean, you have to sit on every word I say.
I heard every single thing.
No, but I need eye contact.
I can't make up for it. I was just laughing.
Yeah, I need you to be...
I'm shocked that you were so...
No, I need you. Are you kidding me?
I was ordering some food because you're going to talk for 2 more hours. No. 7:30.
No, we're going to go to Mission Chinese afterwards.
Mission Chinese.
You don't like spicy Chinese?
It's not really a matter of whether or not I like spicy Chinese.
Well, do you like? Have you been to Mission Chinese?
Are you going out?
I'm out of here like at 9 o'clock.
Okay, you think?
He's controlling our podcast.
No. Yeah, no.
This is an event that we're going do out. A certain way.
Okay, all right. I know. I heard food. No more food ordering out of you. Okay.
I ordered a pizza.
You did? What'd you put on it?
Half plain, half sausage.
I don't eat meat.
Half plain.
I don't like the sausage juices floating on the half plain. Okay, we leave that aside. You didn't even ask me. I would have maybe gone for garlic, anchovies. Yeah. But let's leave it at that. Okay, so Color War. So I at the start of the summer, go up to my group leader, Elliot Dorfman. You guys know Elliot Dorfman?
Just the name?
No.
Elliot Dorfman looked like Dudley Do-Right. Like, you know what like a Dudley Do-Right looks like?
Canadian Monty.
Yeah, very good. He was muscular, you know, chiseled dude, but he was a principal from Brooklyn, right? Everybody was a principal from Brooklyn that came to work for Dave. And I came up to him and I said, Elliot. Now, Elliot was my group leader for the previous 2 years, my third year. I go, Elliot, what do I need to do? I mean, it was like
proactive.
You know, very proactive. It was like I went to a Dale Carnegie school. Okay? What do I need to do to have you walk into Blumstein's house and say Robert Krauss, in spite of his 3 years, he needs to be a color war leader because of all of his incredible qualities. What do I need? What needs to happen? He looks at me.
Is he a Oswego guy?
He's been there for a couple of years. He looks at me. He goes, I don't want you smoking any pot the whole summer.
Did you have a reputation? I
mean, no, just everybody.
Everybody. Don't let the kids smoke pot.
No, no, yeah, everybody did. So everybody
you
just did.
Draw the line there. That would get you in.
Everybody. No, Oswego liked their pot. Everybody. It was just great. It was just fabulous. Okay, so Elliot, for me, right away I processed it. I said, oh, it's going to be a bummer, but he's given me something I can work with. I go, okay, I'll do that. I will do that because I
can work with this.
Yeah, I knew I wanted to be a color war leader, and I knew that wasn't even going to get me to be
How
a color
early
war leader.
Campus is that you're
first day.
First day, you're just
first, like,
first day, second year.
You're yeah. making sure you're going to get what you need.
Well, I just wanted Elliot. I wanted my group leader to fight for me.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted anyone to fight for me.
Were you thinking about being? I guess I never thought
well,
about
Jack
it.
Stellman,
I knew I was going to be
Stellman
a color leader.
First year there, there was nothing he could do. He didn't. You know, he just showed up.
They were going to definitely ask his opinion, though.
No, they. I'm sure they did.
But so Jack, you didn't think about it either, though. You didn't make any.
I didn't
moves.
Promote That's... myself to Jack. I mean, I thought running for mayor, becoming the mayor, was my sort of entree into the color world thing.
That story is why you're successful.
Well, it just I mean, I had good instinct on that. So Elliot though said, but I'm going to tell you, Robert. Every day, every night that you come into the canteen,
I'm going to give you a breath away.
I'm going to look into your eyes, and I'm going to determine whether or not you live up to your end of the bargain. Elliot, no problem. And every night
I got stoned.
No,
it's like, where's the weed?
Let me tell you, I didn't smoke one night. I I'm a man of my word. You know, did a deal and that was it. And Gromper, just to get back to Gromper. Gromper wasn't a color war leader, and he went to camp since he was two. You know, I don't know. I guess, there were a couple. Michael Schlesinger and Steve Brickman came back as third-year seniors.
Steve Brickman was a counselor in the Eagles.
Wasn't he? Right? Yeah.
And he came back, and they were third-year seniors, and they were color war leaders.
It makes sense that I remember him.
Considering he
was my counselor.
And then Michael Kay, Scott Wolf, and Michael Pack, and...
Michael Pack?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Gropper didn't make it, and Gropper was upset.
There was always a weird thing, like, you didn't experience it because you came late, but, like, being a young kid at camp and seeing the older guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It was always like a...
Older in what way? Like, just a second year?
No, just purely just age. You know, just by age, you're like...
In awe of these guys. Were you in awe of me? Did you know me?
I always remember you at the camp. I was a little in awe of you, I think, because we started the same year, so it wasn't like I always knew you. Mm. You were a person who I remembered.
Yeah.
I remember the names you mentioned. Brian Kay, is that you, Brian?
No, Brian was Michael Kay's little brother. Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah.
I remember that whole group that you said, and I remember them being the leaders of our color war, and, so you really have, like, this reverence to these older Oswego
players. Well, even though...
That's pretty amazing. And you don't have that when you're home with kids who might go to college or whatever.
You don't know them at all. They're not part
of
it.
No, it's just that you're in this isolated world up in fucking the middle of Damascus or Pennsylvania.
So for me, who started camp late, I would look at that color war board, and I'd have Moss. And Moss was just, oh, God. He was just the most lovable guy in the world. Moss would, like, tell
you
me...
You and Moss have a lot of similar qualities. They're very...
Yeah?
Yeah, I do think so.
I'll take that as compliment.
Peaceful, yeah.
Totally. Moss would tell me about each one of the color war leaders that were no longer at camp, because I didn't go to camp when I was young, so I didn't know these guys, like Larry Fine, Jimmy Golden, Burl Gottlieb.
Those were, like, a step ahead of us.
But these guys, they all had this incredible aura about them, Jimmy Golden hitting a color war shot at the end of, at the end of the senior game to win it. What's going on here? There's some signs. What are we doing? To be honest, tell me. We're moving too slow.
When I have to pee,
you have to pee.
I have to pee, so we have to come out of the way.
I like a little more red wine. Anyway,
we should just like do a cut sign, so you just stop, and no one will notice that we're paused.
That's true.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
On and now.
We're back.
Hello. Krauss, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Just tell me the story about you and going to I guess it was a canoe trip. Something about you and a girl on a bridge.
Oh yeah, Narrowsburg.
I don't really remember the specific.
Harrisburg.
Narrowsburg. Oh my God!
This is what made you before I even knew who you were. Like all I knew was the story.
Are you having a good time, by the way?
Oh yeah,
this is fun, right?
I mean,
Allie and I would just hang out on Tuesday. We did it on Tuesdays, which is interesting. We would just bullshit and start talking. Yeah. And why don't we do this?
Well, because you were probably boring people. I mean,
Do you think you were boring?
I do. And it's the insecure part of me. But you know, I don't find anything that we said or I've said is too compelling.
That you've said or we've said. That's not me being boring.
No, it's me being boring because I've done most of the talking. But I'm doing this for myself because you know I'll listen to this and over and over.
Times.
Yeah, I mean, it's
just do me a favor. Download it once and listen to it on your own, like downloaded thing somehow, so that we don't count it as 100 times. Like we don't think that you actually.
I don't know if I'm technically proficient enough to do that. Yeah.
This one's like 702.
Jesus Christ, 1,000 listeners. Oh. 972 or Robert.
Okay. let's go to this. Let's go to girls.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, Swetonia girls. Okay. Oh, my God. So, here I am coming into camp at 13. Mm-hmm. All right. And not knowing anything about girls. Let me tell you why I didn't know anything about girls. My dead father, may he rest in peace. So he was a Holocaust survivor, all right? So he didn't know from, family structure and what to do with family. But, one day my mother goes, "Jimmy, I'm going to take a shower." And little Robert Krauss, I don't know how old I am, 7 years old, I'd look at them and I say, and she goes, "I'm going to take a shower." And she goes, and she goes to my father, "You want to join me?" And I look at them, I hear that, I go,
"Wow."
I go, "What are you guys going to do, fuck?" And my mother looks at my father and says, "Jimmy, you have to have a conversation with him. You have to have a talk with him."
Sure.
So my mother goes into the shower, and my father looks at me, and my father, like I said, he's a Holocaust survivor. He doesn't know from having a, birds and bees conversation. And
he's happy to get laid in the shower.
Me being, even then the sensitive person, perceptive person that I am, I see he's got no interest. I let him off the hook. I go, "Dad, don't worry. I know all about it from the park." He goes, "Good." He goes off to the bathroom. Meanwhile, I didn't know anything about it. Okay? I knew nothing about...
Well, you knew enough to say the word fox.
I knew, but I didn't know what it meant. I knew when a guy and a girl, a mother and a father get together. But I didn't know.
It's an activity that goes on.
Yeah, I didn't know what the actual activity was. So I go to camp, and let's just say I'm a little bit older at camp, but I'm not much more sexually sophisticated. So, I don't know from girls. I guess I've, played spin the bottle, I've kissed some girls, but nothing too heavy, right? So I go to camp. And on, I meet this, and it's unbelievable. It's just wow. I know nothing, but I know I like them, but I know nothing. And
well, why is Swetonia so different than say junior high school?
Right, where you were in Forest Hills.
I was in seventh grade. I guess in seventh grade, I had a sixth grade girlfriend.
Surprised the city girls weren't a little bit more progressive than the camp girls.
Because I think the Swago Swetonia thing, you had a social, you were brought together. And this was something you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just sort of we're hanging out at school and if something happens, it happens.
So all I know is I had a girlfriend in sixth grade. We kissed a little bit. Maybe we didn't even kiss. I don't even think I kissed when she went away to a bungalow colony because I was too pissed off that I was going to spend a summer playing punch ball by myself. And, right, thank you. Okay. So seventh grade, we met girls from the, the other junior high schools, and there wasn't much action. There was some spin the bottle, but again, some kissing. Although I once had a tremendous conflict in having a spin the bottle game at the same time that Pete Maravich was playing his first exhibition game for the Atlanta Hawks, and
this is very Moss-like.
Yeah, and then I had a choice of kissing a girl or watching Pete Maravich. I went for Pete Maravich. Oh. I had to watch him shoot. It was on Channel 7.
Point,
that's a big deal. It's a big deal. Oh my God. Okay, so in summer, so I went out with a couple of girls, did a little kissing, what have you, and then at the end of the summer, an older girl didn't have a boyfriend for the end of the summer, and she chose me. She needed a boyfriend.
How many years older?
She was like a year older, which, you know...
That's 10 years.
10 years, and she had... Her body was... It was unbelievable. And she was... I won't name her name. And she decided that I was going to be her boyfriend because she needed a boyfriend for the end of the summer. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. She takes me into the woods. You know, you'd go to the canteen, you'd hang, and then you'd go to the woods and do your thing. So she takes me into the woods, and we start to kiss.
Wait, which woods?
I don't know, just the woods. Sorry. And we start to kiss, and she goes, "What are you doing?"
Oh.
I go, "I'm kissing." She goes, "Don't you French kiss?" Oh. And I didn't even know what a French... I never heard the term French kiss. Okay, how... I mean, I didn't know. But of course, you know, I wasn't secure in my insecurities then. I just said, I don't like the French kiss.
I didn't know what, come back.
She goes... What are you talking about? Nobody, I remember. She goes, incredulously, she goes, nobody kisses thick as a brick. Referencing, you know, some...
Thick as a brick.
Jethro Tull song.
Referencing something else.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, I don't French kiss. She goes, we'll see. And I'll never forget.
It's great, right?
Oh, my God.
Right, because it is a great feeling.
Oh, she opened up her mouth, you know, put her tongue... It was...
The most sensual thing ever.
Oh!
I gotcha.
It was great.
I agree with you.
It was great. It's great. And now, yeah, thank you.
Not that I've kissed that at all, but now, French kissing in general is just the most intimate thing other than
kissing is about as intimate as it gets.
Oh, it was great. And just, and I thought, I was in love with her, obviously, after the first French kiss. I'm in love with her. And then.
So much for that mental connection.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you what I was connected to. I was connected to, you know, a tremendous bitch. Okay, tremendous, hard-ass bitch.
Oh, yeah?
Because then, I'll tell you why.
Because it starts its turn.
Because all she needed, she was just looking for a boyfriend. She chose me just to have, you know, obviously...
And you fell for it.
I was arm candy.
Jeez. And then there was a party after camp. There was a party in Long Island.
And you fell for her? I mean, emotionally, like, you got into her?
I fell for her tongue.
Okay.
I don't know. All I knew is I just wanted to French kiss her all the time. Okay. And that was like the last night of camp, and then there was a party in Long Island, and I was going to go. I took a bus. I don't know, because I knew she was going to be there, and I thought, oh my God, there was going to be more French kissing, because I wasn't going to get French kissing in Queens. This was the only girl that was ever going to do that to me, right? And I remember walking into the party and seeing her. And she was such a hardcore chap that she had no time for me anymore, no interest in me. I served a purpose, and I remember walking in.
Was this a camp party, like a camp reunion?
It was a camp reunion, but now there were other people, and she and I saw her, and I was so happy to see her. You know, it was a month or two after camp, and she walked right by me like she didn't know me.
How dare she? That's depressing.
Depressing. Man, I had to go to the bathroom.
Like, I've had my most intimate moment with you now.
And you're like, hello. Oh, who's this? I don't even recognize you.
I had to go to the bathroom and cry and compose myself. Oh, I mean, it was brutal. It's brutal. So
from highs to lows.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that your one Svetlana romance? Were there any others?
Oh no, there were lots of others. Okay. Yeah, but in answer to the question,
how many total years were you there? The
three, and a counselor.
Lots of romance.
Yeah, from an inter to but let me put this out. Okay, mm-hmm. you talked about this in episode 3A.
3A.
I definitely did not get laid in camp.
Do you believe the John Eunice story?
Well, I heard he referenced. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm trying to think of any of my bunkmates. Might have gotten laid.
I'd like John Eunice to call in if he happens.
I happen to Google
him. Are you friends
him.
With him on?
No, Facebook? No, I Google. I Facebook.
Could you like
him.
Track him down? So you get more.
He's
more listeners for your episode. Get him.
Yeah, he's a surgeon in Florida. I checked on
that's
that.
Impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Africa. You know, obviously doing that to curry favor with all women because all the women were saying, Johnny, how great of you to go help those African people. But he,
do you know the greatest Swago in terms of achievement and, you know, national recognition? Jesse Harris wrote the songs for Nora Jones. What's her name?
Nora Jones song that was big.
What? Every time I love it. What's the song?
I forget it now.
Oh, no, yeah. No,
the big Nora Jones
song.
Nora Jones song.
Yeah.
Swago.
Well, Cousin Bruce is still bigger than
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I disagree with
you. You know who Nora Jones' father was? Ravi Shankar.
Ravi Shankar.
Yeah. But,
what does that mean?
Ravi Shankar was
played sitar with George Harrison.
That's right. George Harrison.
That's no Jesse Harris. That's all I want to say.
I don't think he has much money as another Swagoite. Who's the richest?
I know who it is.
Who?
Whites.
Yeah, Perry Weitz.
Perry Weitz is me. He's, you know, Steve Weiss is in the same
profession. No, it's not Weiss.
Perry Weitz.
Yeah,
it's my Perry, friend Steven Weitz, who Howie knows.
It's Perry Weitz, by the way.
I understand. Perry Weitz.
It's a similar name.
Weitz in Luxembourg is one of the biggest plaintiff's attorneys in the country.
Did he start that?
Weitz in Luxembourg.
Yeah, but was his dad an attorney and then he came
in? No, I think the dude started himself, and my friends are in their league for sure. And they know Perry, and Perry's a good player.
Perry did the Vitas Gerulaitis case, I believe.
What year was he?
He was...
was he your...
2 years, maybe, younger than me. And he was typical. He was like a Robert Krauss-like. He had a big mouth.
Guy.
Good basketball player.
Perry Weitz was a good player.
Very good basketball player. And he was like Krauss-Klausner-Weitz, where, you know, three... people that everyone loved to hate, you know, especially those two guys.
Klausner you and Klausner do have that. I don't know Weitz at all, but you and Klausner do have that. Like, you love him, but he's a bit of a dick.
I mean, but, you know, I got to tell you something. I mean, I couldn't stand Bobby Klausner. You know, he was younger and he was annoying and obnoxious.
He was brash.
Brash.
Like you.
Yeah, but you always had access to my... sensitive sign, maybe.
Right.
But it was.
You don't think of Bobby had that?
The other Bobby.
But let me tell you something about Bobby.
What you're saying.
No. But
you always knew that you had your, you know, you could always appeal to Robert.
Yeah, but
soft side.
Yeah, but Robert was. No, let me tell you something. If I knew Robert Krauss as a third person back then, I'd hate him. Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's just too much. Yeah, no, I understand. Do you know, now, let's be frank. I mean, maybe the worst moment of my life was when I was a color war leader.
Right.
Roy Herman, we haven't gotten to Roy Herman because this guy was this guy was unbelievable. Roy Herman was an unbelievable basketball player. Unbelievable. A no-look...
Great long shot.
No, he was a great passer. I used to watch...
Passing's underrated quality.
Yeah, he was a no-look passer. He could make a no-look pass and freeze the moment. I mean, he was just unbelievable. But he was a work in progress also because he didn't know how to receive love because he was an idol. You know, he came up a year after me as a counselor and I knew of his basketball prowess and I just loved him. I mean, I loved him and he was witty and acerbic beyond belief. He was like Moose's and Eddie Burke's group leader and he was wicked. I mean, wicked. He could slice you up. And he was wicked. And I had no problem with that. I liked that, you know. I admired that, you know. And I told him that, but he, you know, he would, the more I would give him love, the more he would just torture me. And it would hurt me because I loved him. I wanted him to love me back. But he came from an utterly dysfunctional family, and he couldn't love me back. And what
do you have an older brother now?
No. So he killed me also in Kiyuma, what he did to me, the son of a bitch. Let's talk about that for a second. So in my second year senior, I was, you know, so this was Kiyuma. Neil Herman, his brother, you know, Roy's brother, you know, my basketball rival. He was a first-year senior.
Rival. Why
Neil was a rival.
Why do you call me rival? Just in camp, he was the guy you battled?
Yeah, we battled. We battled. We battled.
I guess Merstein, to some extent, would be my rival.
He tapped out early though, Merstein.
He did. Yeah. Ranger years.
Jake came on at the end.
Jake wasn't that good.
He got good at the end. He got good.
So,
go ahead.
So Neil was...
I apologize. Okay. You were good.
Neil was a great basketball player, but what Roy did for Kiyuma is Roy came up to me and he knew...
Bashing Snakes basketball game. That was nice.
What's that?
He was bashing Snakes basketball
game. He wasn't bashing his game. He just said he wasn't that...
We're having an aside here.
No. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, Larry Jacobson was from our era.
Yeah.
He was
35 points.
He was a good athlete. He was sort of strong at that age. And Moss really inspired him to be like to really take basketball.
Remember when Moss like inspired him to play me at half? That, like,
no, and he beat you, didn't he?
He didn't beat me. You all say that, but he did not beat me.
I kind of remember him beating you. No?
You all remember that for some weird reason. Anyway, Robert, back to you.
Sorry,
all right. You're all fucking wrong. Back to you, Robert.
So you know, Neil. I mean, Neil was a fabulous basketball player. Played for Poly Prep. Fabulous basketball player.
It's good.
I'm a private school in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. You know, great basketball player, whatever. But he was a first year senior. I was a second year senior, and Roy comes up to me at, you know, before we start training for Kiyuma, and he goes to me. Oh,
it was practice, wasn't it?
No, it was training. I mean, it was sick. It was sick.
14 miles.
No, we were doing suicide drills. But he told me. He said, "Kraus, here's the deal."
Who was your coach for Kiyuma when you were there?
Roy Herman.
Oh, he was the coach.
Yeah, sorry. So Roy told me, and Alan Epstein and whatever. He told me, he said, "Robert, you're going to run the point, but you're not allowed to shoot. You are not allowed to shoot."
Well, that's bad coaching right there.
Yeah, he goes, "You shoot the ball once, I take you out." And, you know, I just, you know, I was...
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Neil and Brickman are the two shooters. You're not allowed to shoot the ball. And here I am. You would think I would say, "Roy, what the fuck? What do you mean I'm not allowed to shoot the ball? That's not the best way to win. That's the most ridiculous thing." Right. But he had an offense, and that was the offense. And I said, "Roy, whatever you need me to do."
Bought into it.
Totally. Totally. Bought into it. And we had a great team. And we were going to win that tournament.
Who was your big man again?
Scott Wolf. Scott Wolf. He's a great big man. Whatever. We had a great offense. I mean, Roy, we had great plays. We had presses. We had it all. We were in tip-top shape, running suicide drills, throwing up, you know, in practice. I mean, we were so psyched. And I went for it, okay? And what happens? First game, obviously we're going to win the first game.
Sure.
First game.
Who are you up against?
I want to say Tioga. Okay. First game. Now, you've heard about Neil as a second-year senior having the most ridiculous tournament, you know, where he told Dave...
MVP.
And I watched that as a waiter. Mm-hmm. It was one of the greatest basketball performances I've ever seen. It was off the charts. There's no way I can explain how marvelous that was. It was great. And but the first year, I'm not allowed to shoot, and Neil's the shooting guard. Neil couldn't throw it in the friggin' ocean. Mm. He couldn't throw it in the friggin' ocean. Brickman... Same.
Name says it all.
And yeah, exactly. We go down. It's unbelievable. It was the worst. We go down big, big. And I'm flipping out. This is my Kiyuma, and I'm not allowed to shoot. Finally, in the second half, I know we're down big. And I say, "Fuck it." You know, and I
just got to do
it. Do away with the offense. And I just start going. And I start to bring us back. And I remember when the first time I shot and I hit Roy, and Roy, you know, I love you. Roy starts giving me shit. I'm like,
"You're shooting the ball?
Yeah.
You're making the shots?"
Yeah.
No, he's not taking you out.
We're down 30 points. It's over.
Game of Kiyuma.
Down 30. It was over. And I brought us back a little bit, but I knew there was no way. And it was horrendous.
So we lost.
We lost. We lost. And so then what happened in Color War, though? What happened in Color War? Our senior team... was definitely stacked against the Whites team, and Neil was on the other team, and I just went off in my Color War game, and you know, it wasn't a contest, and I burned in every time I hit a shot in that packed social hall. I'd run up. I would, you know, I didn't have it out for Neil.
How great was that feeling?
I'm going to get to that
tiny social hall.
I'm going to get to that in a second.
Charlie three, chip cans.
Maybe you could get two or three rows of people to watch it was out. Intense was that. That was like, you felt like you were fucking in and Madison
get,
Square
and you get introduced and say your height
when
and
you
high
run out.
Too.
It was like, right. Awesome. That was one of the best experiences.
Let me tell you, I can't jump worth a shit. Okay, I never could jump. White man's disease, like you can't believe.
Even if you could jump, you still couldn't jump.
Right. No. But listen to this. Listen to this. This was the sickest thing I've always
been
remember.
Wasted on you if you could jump.
Listen to me. How? Okay. How do I describe Color War senior A game to people?
Okay.
So I can't jump. I can't even get backboard. Okay. I can't get net. I can't get backboard. I remember coming into that hall, dribbling, and there's going to be another story about dribbling into the social hall. I come into that social hall, and the cacophony.
What?
Cacophony?
Cacophony.
Cacophony, that's right. Of noise coming in. It was intense. And I remember leading the team in, dribbling to take the first layup. I remember, I swear to you again, no bullshit. My hand touched the rim. I swear to you.
I can believe it.
My hand touched the rim.
The adrenaline. It was intense. At a level like you've never experienced. That's where my nickname Duke came from. First year, senior year, and senior A, Moss doing a Duke.
It was me.
Duke of Earl?
It wasn't Moss.
It was me.
So it was Duke of Earl. It was you.
Duke of Earl, Big Bopper,
I believe. Duke of Pearl.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And it was that first year senior.
That had to be Moss. Moss knew that song. Moss liked that song.
No, it was Howie.
Howie, how would you know that song?
Breaking News. I love 50s
music.
You did?
All music back in the day. I can still do it, but yeah. So I was familiar with it. Platters.
So a couple of things with that senior again.
I know for it's the Platters, except that it's the right. Silvers.
It's not going to be.
So
fact checking.
Hold on one second. Go.
Okay.
Go.
What
are you enjoying yourself, Robert?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
The basketball.
You know,
you're enjoying.
No, I'm enjoying myself. Okay. Perfect. So the other thing I remember about that basketball game, and I didn't finish that story, every time I would hit a basket, I went for 23 points, every time I hit a basket, I would run down the court and look at Roy.
Ooh.
And just look at him.
What, was he coaching the other team?
He was coaching the other team.
Fuck
and
you.
Just give That's him a look.
Motherfucker.
Not Neil. Neil was a good guy. I didn't, you know, but Roy was, how he didn't let me shoot. Okay, but you know.
It seems crazy that they developed a strategy that was like, don't let Robert.
It was a very regimented offense.
Given
a very regimented offense. No, he can't.
Wow, that's great. That was a clear lack of recognition of your talents.
Yeah, but it was a different. It was a different. First, there weren't any 3-pointers, and it wasn't a great outside.
Care. You could shoot the ball.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
But
you
see, he came from Brooklyn. There was very regimented offenses in Brooklyn, so he wanted a very structured offense, you know, and he wanted to control it. But that's okay. But. Hold on. We're going to have a pause here.
By the way, it's Gene Chandler on Duke of Earl. My apologies. All right, back.
Back. So you, what? Tell me about your canoe trip.
No. I'm wait. Before we get to canoe trip,
hang on. We're playing basketball.
So the basketball. So we spoke about the basketball game, but I missed such an opportunity. The amazing things. What you remember about camp, and you know, it was a great learning experience, a fabulous learning experience for me. So I told you about Stephen Eckert.
Wait, what did you miss out on? You were referencing something you missed out on.
Well, I'm telling you now.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's the story we're right here.
So I told you about Stephen Eckert. Great camper, great basketball player. You know, I was probably only a color war leader because I don't know why he went on a
teen tour.
Thank you, my God, I would have never sourced that. Yeah.
To call people at CNN to figure out what that was.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy. You, my brain doesn't work anymore. So Steve was he was kind of a mellow dude. He was a great guy and a great basketball player. I can't use that strong enough. Really a fabulous basketball player. And so we're lined up to go into the social hall for the senior A game. And Eckert goes to me, which had to take so much for him. He's on my team. And he goes to me, can I dribble the ball in? And it killed me. I remember for a second thinking about it, but I couldn't.
What does it even mean? Can I dribble
so
the ball?
So when you got the whole camp in the social hall.
Oh, I see. On the introduction.
So he wanted to dribble the ball in. He wasn't a color war leader, usually and I had an opportunity of saying, absolutely, Steve, you know, you deserve to, you know, and I didn't. I went with the selfish, no,
like,
Steve.
I'm fucking dribbling the ball.
I'm dribbling the ball.
Second repentance on the podcast here.
Yeah. So what was the first?
Ed's not giving back his sweater for Moose.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get to that in a second.
Come on. He wasn't really going to give his sweater back.
Well, in second.
All nice and all on our podcast, but that's not realistic.
So I go to Eckert, you know, no, I want to. And I did that, and I always remembered that was the wrong thing to do. I should have let him do it because he deserved it and whatever. And now I'm going to make an unbelievable announcement. For me, this is an unbelievable announcement. And of course, it's going to be a little bit self-serving, and I hate to I don't mean to do it that way, but it's more to prove to demonstrate the way to live life. Because I am proud of myself for this, by the way. What I'm going to begin to, what I'm going to tell you, that only one person in the world knows.
Awesome. This is great.
Okay. So we spoke about Moose getting absolutely shafted, and it messed him up. I knew it messed him up. So let's fast forward to the 1990s, I believe. Early 90s, there was a camp reunion.
Right.
In Central Park. Were you guys around for that?
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
No. I remember when the website first took off. There was
that
a
was
small
late. That was 99,
reunion.
Right? You're not talking about until the early.
It was one in 89 in Jersey that was like...
It was after that. It was right after that. In fact, there was a follow-up. There was the follow-up reunion.
Yeah.
So in the 90s, there was a reunion in Central Park. And I think Eddie Burke was like kind of running it. Mm-hmm. And I worked a deal with Eddie Burke. And I told Eddie, never tell anybody. I want this to be anonymous. And I don't believe Eddie told anybody. And now I'm telling everybody.
You didn't disclose it last week.
He didn't. So Eddie makes an announcement in reunion about the great shaft of the great camp legend Moose not becoming a color war leader, and decided that and the announcement was that we're going to make it right now. And Eddie then presents Moose with a green color war sweater.
How did he get the sweater?
It was my color war sweater that I gave. I decided I wanted to give it to Eddie to anonymously give to Moose.
Wow. All right. That is nice. All right.
And I learned.
Great Swago moment.
A great Swago moment. And I learned. I mean, I went back and forth because I love my color war sweater. But I learned that when you can give up something you love and it can provide a good moment for somebody else, there's nothing better in the world than that. There's nothing better. And I messed it up with Eckert. I didn't let him bring the ball in, but I didn't mess it up at that reunion. And Moose, I hope you look at that sweater and know that that is your sweater. You deserve that sweater.
How did that come about, though? Like, how'd you get to the point where Ed was, you know, you were telling Ed, hey, I'll give you my sweater?
Well, no, I knew that Ed was running the reunion. And, you know, and I said, you know, Ed, what needs to happen at this reunion is we need to right the great wrong.
The whole idea was yours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I told Ed to I want you to give the sweater. I don't want you to, you know, say anything, but I'm saying it now.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
thank
good.
You, thank
really
you.
Nice.
Okay, good. What else?
Didn't hint to that at all.
No, he wouldn't. Yeah. But what Ed did do, so you know, Ed, I have to tell you something. What you talking about John Leventhal and telling that story? Don't even repeat that story.
I don't remember the story.
The story about John Leventhal and eating a certain fruit and...
Oh, I brought it up because that was all I knew from the guy. It was
yeah, okay. You have to understand something.
Must have been taking a piss at that point
because I don't remember this part of our episode. You know, who's a judge and, obviously a very accomplished judge. Jike would not allow anybody to mention that. If you mentioned that, you would be in big trouble. And Jike, when we were... campers, he was a group leader, he was a man, you know, he was like Hercules,
right.
Okay, you did not want to F with him because he was crazy. I remember once, Jike didn't like cursing, okay, but every other word out of my mouth was an F-bomb, and one time he said, you know, Krause, no more cursing, okay, Jike, fuck off, and with that, we were on the soccer field. What we're doing on the soccer field, I don't even know, because no one played soccer, sorry. And he took after
Paul
me.
Paul Allen was a good soccer.
Yeah, no, I know, but that was years later when soccer kind of became almost
involved.
Goals
from half.
Yeah. Okay. So Jike took after me, and I'll never forget this. I was a fast runner. In fact, I'm not sure how smart I was because when I was a kid in the PF Flyer commercial, you don't even know PF Flyers.
It's a wagony thing, isn't
it? Yeah, I remember those.
No, that's a wagon. That's something else.
It's a PS. Okay.
PF Flyers. PF Flyers.
Gene Chandler.
PF Flyer was a sneaker that came...
Gene Chandler.
Duke of Earl. PF Flyer. PF Flyers, when they came out, it was a commercial of this little goofy kid putting on the PF Flyer sneaker. And he would start to run, and then all of a sudden, he would elevate. And he'd run so fast that he'd be flying. So I'm not saying that I was a stupid or, you know, gullible kid, but I remember myself when my parents got me a set of PF Flyers.
Testing it out.
And I went to run. I remember there was a blank piece of land, and I was going to run. And I remember running, waiting to elevate or levitate or fly. And I never flew.
Disappointed when it didn't happen.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I thought for a second it was humming, and then the next second, because the guy on TV, I knew I could run faster than him. He flew.
And it's crazy. We have dreams about flying. Like,
yeah,
it's a very strange obsession with like our subconscious.
I almost flew when yeah. Okay, when Jike chased me after me telling him to fuck off. When Jike chased me, I remember running from the soccer field, and he was a big, strong dude. And he was fast. And I remember running through the outdoor basketball court. And I remember at that point recognizing I will never run as fast as I'm running right now. He didn't catch me. Mm-hmm. And I remember somebody on the campus saw me and said he saw that. And then I got a nickname for a little bit called the blur, because I was a blur. There's nothing like running when a person's chasing you and wants to kill you.
Right.
You can't run any faster. So that was Jike. And oh, by the way,
Jike, what's Jike's real name?
John Leventhal. We did that last week. You did that with Edward.
I don't
remember.
It's a week away.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a week away.
It's great.
Keep it detailed.
Must you be so critical?
How old are you?
48.
It's great to be a 48-year-old tall, handsome, single bachelor. Single. I guess you can't be a single married bachelor. A bachelor in New York, because this guy's having. I mean, his apartment. It's an absolute. I can't say that you have a son, Burke. You don't want anything inappropriate. It looks like a fuck palace here. I can't even imagine what goes on here.
You could say.
Am I allowed to say that?
Sound good, even though it's not really.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's true. I mean, you got the Empire State Building, an amazing phallic symbol looking at you.
I'm blessed.
Yeah, you're blessed. Yeah, we don't need that. Kind of cuts the whole sexual tension. The word blessed always cuts sexual tension.
Friday night.
Yeah. I'm blessed.
But he's I mean, you know, Alan is obviously having such a great time that he can't remember what took place last week, because John Leventhal. Yeah,
this is all just show up this week and let's renew.
John Leventhal, by the way, I found out, you know, as a camper, he
next week I won't remember.
He wasn't shafted, by the way. Ed said he was shafted. Right. I checked on that. He wasn't shafted because he developed late. He wasn't a star camper, but he was a star group leader. And now he's a star human being. You know what else about Jike?
As what?
As a judge. I mean, the dude's a judge. It's a big deal.
Like what?
I don't know.
Where? Like state judge or appellate level?
Yeah. But forget that. You're impressed about that?
Totally.
That's nothing. Ready for this? Nothing.
Jike wouldn't be visible.
The Daily News. Mm-hmm. The Daily News once had a contest. Mm-hmm. Half-court shot. If you made the half-court shot, you win money. Mm-hmm. Sure enough,
Knicks game, you mean?
No. It was in a park. Sure enough, Jike. I don't know how he was chosen, but he gets to choose. He gets to shoot the half court shot, and of course, being a Swagoite,
makes it,
wins $90,000.
Awesome.
So cool. $90,000.
Oh, $90,000.
$90,000. Yeah.
As a judge, could he take it?
I think so. Man. I think so. Yeah, I'm sure he's taking it on the side with cases also. Just kidding, Jike.
Judge Jike.
Yeah. Don't talk about the plums.
Just curious. You think Jike listens to this?
I told you.
Are you connected to him enough for you?
No, I haven't. But everybody who I've ever met will listen to this, because
you'll make them.
The numbers will bear the truth.
You'll see. Okay, so Jike.
What about that spiritual side, Swago? You said you wanted to get into that a little bit.
Oh yeah, canoe trip also wanted to get into and the kidnapping. The canoe trip was unbelievable. I remember my first canoe trip. My parents were a little bit concerned. That was right when Deliverance had gone out, and he said, "You know, don't, you know, like, anything my parents are going to tell me."
They were afraid.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to listen
like
to.
A pig.
And sure enough, well, first I was with Morse. That was the first year. Morse and I got kicked off the canoe trip, I believe. We got kicked off.
Back to Swago.
Yeah, we went back to Swago, but we talked. It's first time memory of this. I talked the guy who was supposed to drive us to Swago. Mm-hmm. He goes, he wasn't sure where. I said, no, you said, and he drove us to the end of the canoe trip where we tooled around, and that's where we, I think, got in trouble with those girls in Narrowsburg.
Told him that's where he's supposed to go. The end
yeah,
of the canoe trip.
Not to Swago.
Not
so
back to your bunk.
Yeah. Because we were being bad or something.
That's classic.
So yeah, that was good. But at one of the canoe trips, my canoe my canoe in the rapids, I swear, again, no exaggeration, my canoe got crushed between two rocks and I went under the water.
Wow.
And I remember I couldn't get out because the canoe, not the part where you sat where you would have an air pocket, mm-hmm. but the bottom of the canoe was in front of me. The current was going that way, and I was stuck. And I remember having a moment of thought of, like, I couldn't get up. The canoe, I couldn't, there was nowhere for me to go.
Who was in the canoe with you? Was he nearby?
I don't remember. But all I remember was, oh my God, I am in some deep shit here.
Right.
When all this...
That Mon Gap sign was me.
Well, it's good that you had this sort of wherewithal to come to that conclusion that quickly. Because some people would just sort of panic.
No, I came to that conclusion, but I also came to the conclusion of the reason why I'm funked was I didn't have a way out. I couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm holding my breath, and I remember what happened is once I realized I couldn't get out, that's when I got hit with a wave of panic. Like, oh my God, what am I going to... When Andy LaBella, Andy, I don't know where you are, you've never been at a reunion.
Andy LaBella?
Andy LaBella. He was a strong guy. He was a strong guy, good baseball player. He could hit a softball, and I remember somehow, I guess he was the guy I was in the canoe with, I think. He put his hand down somehow.
Grabbed you by the scruff of your neck.
Just grabbed me and pulled me up one handed.
Like a puppy pulled
you
up.
I don't know how he pulled me up. And I grabbed his arm, but that was big. Okay, the other thing, but you know, before I forget, is again, the bad things we did in camp were, you know, it was such nudniks, stupid. And I guess, you know, this was the thing about Swago. I guess one of the great things about Swago, and my kids. I have three kids. You know, they all went to different camps. You know, they all. My first kid hated camp. I took her to every friggin' camp, and this was a good line. She's 10 years old. She's in Camp Vega, maybe in Wayne. You know, in Maine. Excuse me. My other two kids went to Wayne.
Is that a vegan camp? What is
Camp Vega was the nicest camp out there. Okay. The jappiest, most expensive camp. You know, the most expensive camp. I lived in a japped out town. You know, everyone knew what the best camp was. This
Rack
was in
Lake also.
This was in Maine. No, this was at Vega. So she went there. You know, she hated it. We then sent her to, I think, Camp Wayne. She gave us trouble there, and on visiting day, she wanted to go back. And I remember saying to her,
she wanted to go back to Vega?
No, she wanted to come back home.
Yeah.
She was done with camp. And how could one of my kids not like camp? This was my first kid.
My son did love
it. Yeah. So I told her, I remember saying, Rachel, I go, here's the deal, okay? I don't know how old she is, but I said, here's the deal. If you can't figure out how to be happy in camp, this is an idyllic version of life. Life will never get better than what you've got mm-hmm. right now. If you can't figure out how to be happy here, let me just tell you...
A little pressure on her.
No, let me just tell you what the rest of the summer is going to look like. And this is no threat. This is what happens. You go from this idyllic place, you go to a therapist, and you're going to work. Yeah, you're going to work on yourself to figure out how you couldn't enjoy this place because it's, you know, again,
the rest of your life will be a constant pursuit of why you didn't love camp.
Yeah, so
and Blue Jasmine.
No, Blue Jasmine. I know she's going to lie. Are you kidding me? Blue Jasmine's great. So, she stuck it out through camp, but that was the last year at camp, and she's doing fine. That's good.
We're sure she is.
But one of the worst things that we did at camp, because we really were works in progress, and oh my God, and I'm sorry, one of the reasons why Swago was great is they really gave us so much freedom. I mean, what we were able to do was incredible. I mean, most camps, and like, you know, my son and my younger daughter, they went to Camp Wayne for like 10 years and stuff. You know, they love Camp Wayne, and I've gone to Camp Wayne on visiting days, obviously. You know, obviously,
not
I'm
the same.
It's just not the same. And I thought Camp Wayne was the closest thing I could find to Swago. You remember Camp Wayne?
Yeah.
But I just feel like there was something magical about that place that I don't feel it at Camp Wayne, and my kids would give me a lot of shit.
I feel like it was
shit.
A little freer, more unique. It had a special quality to it that other camps didn't have, and maybe I'm just thinking from my own perspective.
We're all romanticized.
Oh, like we all think that our own experience is that special. But
I think it was.
I would believe that it was pretty unique.
I think we got to control our own destiny.
We really did.
Than kids in other camps.
We really did. So along those lines, though, that's dangerous because we did something that I am so, so embarrassed of. It was such a bad thing to do. Bad, bad, bad. And I won't name the kid, but when we had reunions, I went up to the kid and I apologized so earnestly. And the kid was so cool, kid. He was now an adult. He just totally let me off the hook the way I let you off the hook, Roy Herman. he just totally let us off the hook, but it was really such a bad thing. So there was this one kid when we were, I don't know if we were waiters or second year seniors, I can't remember, but we thought that the camp was on the downturn. I think we were waiters. I can't remember.
Had to take matters into your own hands.
There was this one kid. I think he was an Eagle. So he was young. How old's an Eagle?
12.
Yeah, 12.
So we thought that he didn't show the camp proper respect and, you know, whatever. And we were indignant about it.
Proper code.
Yeah. So we told his counselor. Now, his counselor, I remember the counselor, the dude's name was, I think, Craig. I think he was like the water ski guy. You know, he didn't have any legacy at the camp.
Dave Baker.
I don't know who Dave Baker
is. Be you.
So,
sorry about me.
So we told the counselor, look, something's going to go down with one of your... Something's going to go down with one of your kids in your bunk in the middle of the night.
Something's going to go down.
Yeah. Listen.
No, what could possibly go down?
Oh, you just wait. You just wait. So
flip his bed.
You know, so you just sit quietly. Are you okay with that? Craig, the water ski guy, said yes, no problem. The guy should have qualified it. Said, what are you going to do?
He didn't give a shit. He's like, I'll stand by. Why don't you guys do whatever you want to do.
So here's what we do to this poor kid. So we come into the bunk. We're all masked.
It's necessary. The kid was asleep for 4 hours.
What kind of masks? Scary masks?
I don't remember. I don't remember. The kid... we had hoods over our head.
The KKK.
Great. Yeah, KKK. And... the kid's sleeping, and I remember this like yesterday. Poor kid. He's sleeping. We had this all worked out. One guy grabs his feet. One guy grabs his arms. One guy puts his hand over his mouth. And the other guy shines a flashlight in his face. With that, I remember that. And I remember the kid's face. Utter fucking
fear.
Terror. Just terror. Yeah. Terror. And with that, here's what we do. We pick him up and we put him in a duffel bag.
Duffel bag.
Right. What size duffel bag? This is ruse.
Right, I'm like, cool. The flashlight thing was like, that's no big deal. We buy duffel bags.
And we
pack him in a duffel bag. First we put like the ball thing in his mouth to make sure he doesn't say a word.
And we zipper
then
up.
Then we fucking zip him up in the duffel bag.
We zipper him up in the duffel bag and
Did you bring the duffel bag?
We obviously brought the duffel bag, and we carry him to the social hall. Don't you remember? I told you this was one of the worst things I ever did in my life.
See why?
Yeah, obviously. And I knew when I was doing it. I knew this is bad. You know, it's bad. But again, in that group mentality,
the adrenaline.
Yeah, but it was bad because we had this all
in a duffel bag.
Yeah, we had this all planned out. So we take him into the social hall where we've got a tribunal set up. So we take.
It's like Al Qaeda going to Guantanamo.
Were your cohorts in this?
Oh, just they'll remain nameless also. And we put him on trial for treason against. Treason against camp. Treason against Camp Swago for not treating the camp with proper respect, and then we sent him back into his bed, and we go off. And I knew this was such a bad thing to do. So the kid could have been scarred big time. Kid goes back to sleep. So the next day, I feel guilty. I get to Craig, the water skier, the counselor.
Was the tribunal, did you find him guilty?
Oh, we found him guilty of,
guilty of every crime known to the Swago humanity.
And then we get him back into bed, and the next morning, I go to Craig. I go, what happened when the kid woke up?
And screaming.
Craig goes to me. The
he
kid,
never did.
kid wakes up and tells the story, and the counselor, one hell of a counselor, I got to tell you, he said to the kid, it was a dream. It was just a dream.
Oh.
And that was it. That was it. But it was a bad. It was a bad thing to do.
But when you approach, when you approached the kid to like apologize, did he remember it?
Oh, he remembered.
Did he think it was a dream?
No, he knew it wasn't.
And the beauty of the story is that's what inspired him to write those Nora Jones books.
Yeah,
as Jesse Harris.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But along these lines, let me
know who it is.
Let me just tell you what Roy Herman did to me.
Share?
No,
off the
off mic.
Yeah, off mic.
You know, Ed Burke sang some songs and they put on the site, but he didn't do one song, which almost sent me over the edge. Here I am. Okay. I'm a color war leader. I'm up there in front of the team doing the songs and all that stuff. Yeah, right? Loving myself, right? Couldn't have any more power.
Conducting.
When all of a sudden it was the white team's turn to do the Raz.
The Raz.
And the Raz, for anyone who doesn't know, is where you kind of...
for Razor.
Yeah, where you kind of...
You don't know. I'm shocked that you're here at this hour and 40. But nonetheless, if you don't know,
well,
God bless you for getting this far.
So...
How far in are we? Just out of my own curiosity. Is Krauss moving over 2 hours yet?
Yeah, I'm not even... I haven't even started.
Wait, so you got into the notes.
So the Raz is where... You kind of like do rank outs on various campers and various things. Rank outs, right? So Roy Herman, who again, Roy, for whatever reason, couldn't accept my love at that point.
Back to Roy.
Yeah. So Roy was, again, brilliant, new music, you know, just an absolute brilliant mind. He wrote the greatest Razzes. I believe Ed highlighted the one he did about Maury Pierce.
That was good. That was
He's unbelievable. He was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant.
That's a Maury.
So listen to what he does. So here I am. I'm...
That's clever. Brilliant. I like it. That's good. That's some...
No. Titsamori. Because Titsamori. Yeah, because his daughter had these... Okay.
Oh. All
right.
Hey.
I think she was on the site today, actually.
She's a listener.
And let me just say, I meant to say before I started, Mary Lupo, I apologize for all the curse words. Okay.
Mary's going to be fine.
Okay.
I think she's all right.
So, I'm standing up there watching them do the Raz. And
it's
here,
nice that Mary Lupo, who is not even a Swago
Swiss she's great.
Person, is like she's in our loop.
She's great.
She lives on the lake.
She's great.
God bless her.
She's great. She's great. And Ricky Lorber told very nice stories about the people that own the camp now, how gracious they were and how interested they were about Swago. Okay, let me finish this story, please. So, I'm up there.
I won't stop you again.
Okay, yeah. So, I'm up there digging myself as the color war leader in front of my team when the Raz comes up. And Roy Herman, man, oh, he just tortured me here. So you had some kid came in dressed like me, and I don't know what me looked like back then. Apparently I wore my shorts up high. And, you know, was very animated because I was very animated. So he's imitating me, running all around, imitating me. I didn't realize he was imitating me until I heard the first line of the song. And I had to do, when I heard the first line of the song, and I knew the rest of the song was coming. After hearing the first line of the song, I had to do everything I could not to cry. Not to cry. Here I am. I'm going from the pinnacle of my life, leading Color War Sing, to everyone on my team is now looking at me to see how I would react. And all I can do is say to myself, don't cry. Why? Here's the opening line. Not yet. First, let me tell you what the tune is to. Do you guys know, again, the association, the song Windy?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was on March, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It was your March?
Ricky Lorber wrote the March for
Wow. He ripped us up.
It's interesting, circling back to Ricky Lorber.
I can't sing, but I'll try. Who's stripping down the streets of the city, smiling at everybody he meets? Okay. Bum, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, bum, bum. Everyone knows it's windy. Okay, first line. Let me see if I can remember it now. Ready? Hold on.
You just sang it.
Here it goes. No. Here's the Raz now. Where I'm. Okay, stay with us. You see, this is why alcohol's not good for the... ready? Here
it's
we go.
For the podcast.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Who's hated more than Adolf Hitler? And with that,
everyone knows it's
Krauss. And with that, I almost... Okay, it just...
Were you upset or you were touched?
I wasn't touched. What do you mean, was I touched?
I don't know. Frankie's just getting recognition.
Who's hated more than Adolf Hitler? Was I touched?
I don't know. It's a sort of facetious sort of thing. Maybe, you know, he's just joking. I originally were touched by
him. No, I wasn't touched. I was mortified. My grandparents were killed by Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was the...
Oh, all right,
it was the...
My gut, though, is John Lee Rebaum is pleased by the fact that we were saying, who's the biggest schmuck in the camp? Lee Rebaum.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was the biggest schmuck in the camp? Lee Rebaum.
You probably like that. Lee Rebaum was older than you?
1 year older.
Yeah, okay. Lee Rebaum, let me tell you, as an older camper,
right,
he was a handful. He was not the kid we put in the duffel bag. But
that is who I was suspecting.
No, he was too much of a handful. We could have never got him in the duffel bag. But I think it was someone in his group.
Matty Roseman.
He was impossible, Lieberbaum. But I had a great experience with Lieberbaum at a camp reunion where it was the...
There were only two. Which one?
No. We were upstate. We were upstate at camp reunion. It was... I'll tell you when it was. It was an anniversary of the Woodstock. I guess it was... Let me just think. It was the 25th anniversary of Woodstock, which would make it 94.
Yeah.
94. Yeah. It was right after Jerry Garcia died. And
a lot to do with my Swago experience.
Johnny Lieberbaum and I went to Woodstock from the reunion, and there were just a bunch of deadheads there.
Just love that sentence.
And
Lieberbaum and I went to Woodstock,
and we got into, and I think there was another guy also that, who was his cousin, Pepper, Dr. Pepper.
Scott Bernstein.
I mean, these guys were whacked. I mean, they were whacked out of their minds. Not from drugs, but
no, just from being whacked.
They were just whacked, and you know, they were compelling beyond belief, and we had some very, very deep conversations. And I don't know what happened to Bernstein. I hope he's okay, but I know
he's on his way up to New York now.
Yeah,
is he okay?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Posts on Facebook, Scott Bernstein.
Lieberbaum is super
responder.
Yeah, both these guys, and I guess that's my point. If we could find some closure here, is that it just seems like, you know, the Swago kids, all of them, you know, especially the ones that were kind of out of their minds, you know, all of them, I think, turned out pretty good. It was just, there was something about that place that fostered growth. I don't know what it was, but even...
Life.
I don't know what it was, but, I mean, everyone turned out pretty good, right?
I love everybody from Swago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just good being.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's my phone in the background. Who cares?
Your wife? She's like, who the fuck are you?
No, she's... I told you, she's at the beach house. I am free tonight. She's down at the shore. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably just get on a train. And I'm going to do one of the great things in life when you've been married for 30 years. Ready?
What is that?
I am going to sleep diagonally on the bed tonight.
God damn.
You know, that is...
You have a king bed.
I do have a king bed, and that is hot shit. When it you can is. Go sideways, it's
You're
a great
only five,
feeling.
Six. Yeah. How much of a bed can you take up?
I take up the whole bed when I go sideways.
You just go horizontal, like just, my son would do when I'm by my
totally.
Bed.
Totally. How much taller is your son than me? How tall is Burke?
He's about 6 feet. He's
really?
A solid 6 feet.
How old there. Is Burke now?
16.
Oh, my God. Boy. I remember him.
He's awesome.
Yeah, when we were together, he was a little boy,
he's
right?
Great, yeah. He's probably eight, nine, whatever.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's great. Awesome. Do we want to wrap this up? Hold on. Let me just see if there's any other notes. I'm looking at kidnapping, artesian well, canoe trip. Oh, Peter Geller. Did you guys know Peter Geller?
Yeah, of course. He was a big deal.
Okay. Peter Geller was somebody that was in our world. Peter Geller was this connection to like a Swago from beyond, but he was kind of hanging on.
Yeah.
Almost...
We didn't really have that much to do with him, though. There was sort of like...
What role did he play? What was he going to play?
I resented Peter Geller when he completely embraced the Sheldon.
He was always sort of on the inside track with the guys that ran the camp.
Right. And I'll be honest, there was no need to give the guy an honorary...
what did he get?
Sweater.
He got an honorary sweater?
1983.
Yeah, it was
lame. Oh, I came up for that.
They gave him a sweater and they put his name on the... I was okay with... We talked about this. I was okay with him getting a sweater. I'm not really okay, but okay, fine. but they put his name on the color war plaque. They put Peter on one side and then Geller on the other side as an honorary leader. And it's just like, really? You're going to desecrate 60 years of history?
You know what? I'm sure he's fixed many a good cavity in his years as a dentist.
Sure.
Well, you see,
he didn't deserve that honor.
I'm here to potentially change your position on
that.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I'm open-minded.
Peter's
welcome, too.
Because let me tell you...
I have him on.
Of course.
Geller would be a good guest. We should probably have him. Well, he would be a great guest. But
it would be great.
It'd be good for 15 minutes for calling.
Some bunnies.
Let me tell you why you might want to reconsider.
Please.
Now, mind you, Peter Geller was in my bunk. He was one of my guys in my bunk.
Oh, in the year from the first year, he was in your bunk.
Yeah. And you see, he
that's
was
important.
He was so he, you know.
So you really knew him. You were in that, you know, sleeping with him.
Yeah. And I can I can understand now when you mentioned that about Sheldon, and I remember
A bit of a kiss ass.
He was a total kiss ass.
Come on, just be
let me tell you, you see.
Howie, don't step back from this. You know,
no.
Listen,
my whole thing, that the fact that he took that honor of going on the plaque is ridiculous.
No, but
I would have been embarrassed
at the time
by that.
I
would have been like, don't fucking do that.
No.
That's ridiculous.
But hold on a second. I'm going to shed light. I'm going to enlighten. Right. You ready to be enlightened? Are you
always open-minded?
Please.
Okay,
love
good. And when you mentioned the fact that he did all that, it brought me back. I remember that he did all that, and I didn't remember it until you guys said that. And I remember that obviously sucked because, you know, Sheldon was the devil.
Yeah.
Sheldon fucked the camp beyond belief. And you don't get into bed with the devil. But let me tell you why maybe Peter did get into bed with the devil. Okay? So Peter, as a camper, Peter had, you aware? He had scoliosis.
Yeah, I remember he wore the neck brace.
He wore the brace.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. You know, I think back on that.
That had to be tough.
Oh. He did it in the most gracious manner. It never affected it. No, don't throw up from that. Alan's throwing up. Why are you throwing up?
Is he?
He is.
I don't see any bomb.
That's chuckling a little.
No, gracious manner.
No. Wearing a neck brace.
No. It wasn't a neck brace. Dude, it wasn't a neck brace.
What was it?
It was, he had scoliosis. He had curved spine. It was a brace that went from his neck to his waist.
A neck brace.
No, a neck brace is just around your neck. This was a full body brace.
It was a full body
brace. My heart
goes
out to me.
Listen,
that, still.
That's, no, I'll just hold up a second. So,
it doesn't give you like a pass for me to bit the dick.
What was the part that you said you were going to be open and potentially be enlightened? You sound like you're being defensive about your position that he's a dick.
No, you've brought the fact that you were going to enlighten us and like, okay, I feel bad that he had the neck brace.
No.
But it doesn't excuse everything else.
It's not excusing. It's just maybe giving you an understanding. Let me continue, please.
That was just such a difficult
just
experience.
For the record, I've got no problem with Peter Geller. And in fact,
no,
I think
his
heart was in the right place.
No.
My only beef is that how do you go on the color war plaque? That's
it. My beef is that he really was a bit of a... What's the right word?
But you needed somebody.
Pussy,
you needed somebody
right
to
word.
Almost do that.
Come on. He just jumped onto the Sheldon bag.
Yeah, okay.
Come on.
But, okay, all I'm saying...
I'm a pair of balls.
No, just please.
Go ahead.
Let's be open and loving. Okay?
Sucker better have been in a wheelchair, otherwise...
No.
I'm not forgetting.
So,
he's probably a damn good dentist.
Let's just recognize...
No, I'm serious. I wasn't sarcastic. He's a really good dentist.
I don't want to be interrupted again, please.
Excuse us, Mr. Guest.
Let me just turn the mics down.
Okay. So, I mean, first of all...
Could you just mute me?
You know...
So Robert could check?
So the guy was, you know, had to put that cast on, or that brace on, for a certain period of time.
You feel bad for him.
It couldn't have been an easy way to develop your self-esteem when you're walking around with a fucking brace on like that. I mean, he's like, you know, Frankenstein. So all I'm saying is that he could lead to so badly wanting some juice. He had no juice. In fact, what he did in the bunk is he was into being clean, right? I mean, we weren't. And we named him...
Neat, you mean?
Neat. Okay. So we named him Gelsberry. He was our butler. So not only was he...
Richie Rich then, right?
So we named him Gelsberry, and when anything would... Like, we'd throw shit on the floor, we'd say... Gelsberry, and he'd play the role. He'd go, you know, and he'd clean up the bunk, you know, and he'd have a brace.
So he took advantage of
him.
No.
I love the guy. He would clean. He would do the four corners, the hospital corners on my bed.
The point
he
being,
was awesome. I love
is
that
you
guy.
Can deconstruct why would a guy be such an ass kisser with the devil.
Right.
You know, he just needed his...
It was his way of attaching himself to the whole thing.
Well, he just needed some... some external validation, mm-hmm. you know, because we certainly didn't give it to him in the bunk because we weren't smart enough to know this kid's in a brace and we should treat him extra nice.
I feel like
the counter. You should treat him as who he is.
As he is, and I feel like he got that. Like I feel like in my time, I didn't know him as the guy in the brace. I knew him as he was a group leader,
and then he was
the guy that
brother's counselor.
He would lead bunnies if he went out drinking, and he would make announcements at the lineup. So he had his juice. He had his Swago sort of. I'm a Swago guy.
It went to his head because he never.
But Bobby, imagine they come to you and they're like, "Listen, we want to put your name on the color war plaque.
Yeah.
You're not a leader.
Really
you're never a leader.
The
we're going to take your name. We're going to put Robert on one side and Krause on the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, just as an honorarium to you. How do you not say, hey, you know what?
Leave it be.
I'll take your sweater. Thank you very much. That's all.
You know what? The way you developed, the way I developed, I would absolutely have the character to pass on that.
I guess maybe he came from a different.
Yeah, I mean, you can, and then when you know that the dude's been in a brace and was a butler during his camp years, you know, you could, whatever.
And I like him. I mean, I have no. It's not like I have animus towards the guy. Yeah,
no
that. I just don't understand
either.
Yeah, no.
You just look at him as you know.
Yeah, no, it was kind of douchey then. Yeah, it was. You know, you can't. And Peter, if you're listening to this, I'm sure. You know, if you've grown, you've recognized, you got into bed when you were young with the devil, you probably shouldn't have gotten into bed with him. Case closed.
There you go.
You know, okay. Anything else?
You've been awesome as a guest.
Oh, I've talked a lot. I don't know. I don't think I've said anything really compelling. The other thing is you just have to get Cobbs here because Cobbs is the funniest human being in the world. He is beyond funny. And you can't even imagine. Let me tell you some things that Cobbs did, which I just
know.
Cobbs.
Oh, just have him here. He's in New York, right?
No, he's in New York. I told it. So he's the. You know, don't you know the way he speaks? He speaks like this. You know, he's like a caveman. He speaks like this, and he's crazy. He's the most competitive thing alive.
In the tri-state area.
Long Island.
Okay.
You know, Long Island. I told him. I thought that you know.
Do
this,
you think he listens?
I thought this emanated. No, he doesn't know how to work a computer. Klaus, I don't know how to work that computer. But he's friendly with J-Cone. J-Cone, great
send
guy.
The link to click on.
No, I don't know how to work the computer, Klaus.
It'll just come out of the speakers. Don't worry.
So Cobbs,
the speakers will have our voices.
Cobbs was the most competitive human being in the world, and he killed. Okay?
What was he good at? Like, what was his... did he have a sport that he was...
He was a great coach as far as I experienced
right,
him.
Right.
But I think he was an okay basketball player and baseball player. But he was... His personality was sick. His name's Steve Jacobs, so the last part of his name became Cobbs. And he was the guy in the Swago story in the movie.
Knowing his name, I didn't figure that out.
You go Jake or Cobbs.
Cobbs.
He was the minority one.
Right.
This guy, you can't even imagine the shit he did. You can't even... there's no way. Nothing's going to make sense because you have to see how this guy speaks. He's crazy. In an inter-camp game, I'm now going to be Cobbs. Krause, you know what? That Paul Broad, he's so overrated. Everyone knows Paul Broad, the waterfront guy?
Yeah. I've never
heard of him.
Yeah. So Paul Broad is reffing an intercamp game. And it's 52-52 against, I don't know what camp. And he's calling technicals on me. I went up to him. I said, Paul, the fuck are you doing calling technicals on me? I'm paying X amount of dollars for this camp and you're calling technicals on me losing the game? Krause, I wanted to kill him. And just, you know, he's telling me this story. He's 50 years old, you know. He's 65 now. This is 15 years ago. He's wild. He was a group leader, and he went on intercamp games. He was so competitive. He did a due diligence on one camp. I think it was...
due diligence.
Yeah, I think it was...
I had scouts out there watching him against that quote-unquote.
Against Kutchers. You know, I guess back then they were, I don't know, playing Kutchers.
They were weak on D. They didn't move their feet quickly.
He knew that they had a great A team. He knew that they had a great A team.
A's strong, B's very weak. Yeah. Take advantage of our
go,
B. Let's
go
move,
figure.
Let's move those bottom guys on A over to the B team.
He found this out on the way there. He stopped the second bus where the A team was. And he gets on the bus and he goes, A team! You're now the B team. B team, you're now the A team.
We're just going to seed A.
Yeah, and he goes...
Go for the win in B.
And he goes, yeah, and that's what happens. The B team loses by 80 and he wins.
Strategic.
Yeah.
That shit never worked out anyway in the camp. You always wound up playing guys who like 4 years older than you or 2 years younger than you.
Yeah, Tyler Hill. Tyler Hill would always give us all the guys.
I never really know who won intercamp. It was always ambiguous.
Yeah.
You just never wound up playing guys who look like your age.
Every camp thinking, they won intercamp.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good
It didn't matter. It was all about.
It didn't matter.
It was basketball and baseball.
They're not as committed to intercamp anymore now at the camp.
Yeah.
I've noticed that, yeah.
Yeah. But you have to get Cobbs on. You really do. This guy is out of his mind.
It'd be great to have somebody that we don't even know.
He's you can't imagine. He tells it. He should have a sitcom. He's really a unique individual.
We are comedy. That would be great.
Yeah.
I don't know if we are now.
No. This was
deep. We got deep with you, Robert.
I don't know how deep we got.
Did you enjoy your time here with
us? We'll have you back, man.
Well,
you're always welcome back.
Any questions? I did a lot of talking. Feel free. I didn't bring you guys into it at all.
You never answered my question about the bridge girl story that Moss used to talk about.
Oh, so that I believe was at the canoe trip where we got kicked out and they were supposed to take us back to camp, but they took us to Narrowsburg. Mm-hmm. And we picked up two girls and I forgot how we got into their room. But we were in their room, and we were...
What was the room? What, it was a house?
I don't know. It was a hotel, maybe? I don't know what it was, but it was incredibly erotic. I mean, it was like, I can't believe I'm with a girl in a room alone.
It's better than French kissing?
It was after French kissing, so I kind of knew what to do a little bit. But Moss knew more than me because when we finished and compared notes,
Moss was such a player prior.
Moss
to
was.
Oh, Moss was. Yeah. No, you
just being like live in Middletown and be the librarian guy.
Oh my God, Moss before he lived in Middletown. You know, when he was a boy from Massapequa, he was hot stuff. Yeah. He was hot stuff. He was hot stuff, and he always had that great insight. And Michael, as you know, I miss you and I love you dearly.
I'd love to have Moss on this show.
I'm going to email him.
He could have some real stories. He could have some real stories.
He's my counselor.
Real stories. He was your counselor. He's wonderful. Okay, should we wrap it up?
I think it's time to make a wrap. Not that we couldn't talk to you for hours on end, but it's been a beautiful experience.
It's a good one to listen to if you're flying from New York to Miami.
Yeah, I mean, Camp Swago.
It's a perfect time from New York to Miami. What are we at? Like
2:25?
Perfect. Exactly in New York to Miami.
Oh, shit.
Download this flight. You're on your way to Miami. You're going to go... And I chill with your parents. Robert. Listen to Robert.
Great, as intense.
Awesome, man.
Yeah,
as always.
Thank you
for coming on. We're gonna have you on again soon.
Say that again.
Thank you for coming on. We're gonna have you on again soon.
Yeah, you messed up those letters. Howard Stern wouldn't have liked that. Don't end it yet.
I'm not.
What is my parting words were? It was really just a beautiful time. The music was beautiful. The people were fabulous, I just wish I could go back.
In my fucking apartment talking about Swago, doesn't that?
Why?
It says it all. That, like,
says
how
it all.
Committed we were.
They don't do
to
this
it.
At Tyler Hill.
They do not.
They
definitely do not.
We almost finished. Let me tell you something. When we went up to camp a couple of weeks ago, Eddie and Brian, and I left them and I went to Camp Wayne. Thank God I have, you know, you have navigational, because I don't know how you ever got from camp to camp. You know,
not those, that far, though.
No, yeah, it's still, yeah, but those roads, where do you go? What are you going to write the directions? I would have been lost for 3 years.
Thank God the GPS.
But I drove by Tyler Hill. Mm. And, is it,
was and never will.
It's nauseating. It's soulless. It looked like a country club.
Wrote that. I was dumbfounded.
What do you remember Never blank, never will.
I don't know.
Is it never was or never
will?
We
always thought it was never was and never will, but people have been saying never won and never
will.
Which
makes more
sense. Oh, I don't know.
It does make more sense that somebody from a different era of Swago put never won and never will on
Rico. I went by, it was manicured. I didn't see one human being out there. You know,
that's it, right?
You went by Swago, you would hear the people.
We had a road that went straight through our camp.
That's true. But you would, Tyler Hill.
How nice was our lake.
Oh, shit.
It was gorgeous.
Oh,
it was beautiful.
Shit. And that was the last thing, Eddie, you beat me up on. I needed to swim the lake. That wasn't a Napoleonic thing. I swim, I do laps now, you know, to try to loosen my body.
Everybody.
You know,
Napoleon.
I do laps, I do it in.
His thighs need to be stretched.
No, they do from all the stupid sports. And, you know, I'm swimming in chlorine, so like the thought of going from chlorine to swim in your mother's womb, I mean, that water was just delicious.
It was like your mother's womb.
Well, I don't know.
That
much.
Yeah.
Swago.
Goodbye, everybody. I love you all. Gropper.
Peace and love.
You're the best.
Thank you, Robert.
Yo.
Good night. Yeah.